If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Get in with this shit.
Jingle that fire. No, no, no. Yeah.
Oh, do it again. Do it again. Right there. Okay.
Fuck! This is tedious. On the right stuff.biz. Oh.
Thank you, Jamie. Wait. Thank you, Jamie.
Is this for the new secret hand gesture we're doing?
Jamie was... She's jiggling... He... I keep misgendering Jamie. Jamie's jiggling the headphone amplifier feed cable because it was coming through in mono again, which just means it needs to be jiggered to come through in stereo. It's Tedious 455, paywall edition.
This is the good stuff. The right stuff.
Remember these?
The Daily Show.
I don't know what that means.
Men of our race are still being born with the right stuff.
White people, you really need to listen to this.
You really need to listen to the free market.
The free market.
Sven market. Here with Mike on the Skype with Alex McNabb. Jamie helping us out with the cable connections as so, I spurg out.
Welcome to the de-radicalizer stuff.
That's right.
The de-radicalizer stuff. We have decided we're going back to libertarianism. Rand Paul.
Rand Paul.
I actually probably would vote for Rand Paul.
I love low taxes.
Over Trump.
I love that Amazon doesn't pay any taxes because taxation is theft.
Honestly, that's already happening. So if Rand Paul would like stop giving Israel money, but he
hot no sizzling.
Nobody's gonna stop giving Israel.
Sizzling. You can send yeah.
Israel, nobody now.
Israel gets the free overnight the 1 day shipping option on its delivery of cash.
Yes.
Didn't somebody say that was it Boot Geek? Was it the butt gig economy who said that he would stop aid to Israel over the Golan Heights annexation?
No, like, he said West Bank.
West Bank.
He said if they annex the parts of the West. I'm like,
it's like, how about we just stop aiding this genocidal nation that's stealing land from its neighbors? How about we just stop because it doesn't need our money?
But first of all, like, they've annexed the West Bank. They just haven't done it like officially. Like they gave the West Bank to Palestine and then they just put settlements in. And they're just totally illegal by international law, but nobody does anything about it.
I don't give a shit.
The U.S. always raises a stink about it. This is why they say, like, Barack Obama is an anti-Semite. The U.N. is anti-Semitic because the U.N. passes toothless resolutions.
Yeah.
And then the U.N. General Assembly will pass resolutions that pass by majority vote. Then the Security Council, which is the top five powers in the world, I think it's like Russia, U.S.,
like,
China,
yeah, nah.
UK, and France. That's the Security Council. The other nations will vote for it, and that's supposed to, the Security Council resolutions are supposed to be binding, which is why they always go back to UN resolution, Security Council resolution 242, which is the creation of Israel, and then it's like after the Six-Day War. It's like saying it's like moving towards a Palestinian state, right? It's basically saying the ultimate goal is a Palestinian state. I'm like, well, why not just fucking create it then? And the reason is because Jews don't want it. And ever since then, whenever they try and pass anti-Israel resolutions, the U.S. just vetoes it. But this is why they complain. They're like, the U.N. is anti-Semitic. And then Barack Obama and Democrats, because of their changing constituency, they give lip service to this shit, but they never actually do it. So it's like their version of kosher sandwich is like, oh, we'll stop giving. I mean, it's not just we'll stop giving aid to Israel. That's one of the things. But it's like, we'll cut, and they never say we'll just stop it altogether. They say we'll stop it if they do a bad thing.
If they do this.
But they've already been doing bad things for fucking, since
they do nothing.
They've been doing
bad
things for like 100 years, since even before the state was formed. And so, and Buddy Gig is never, he's never going to actually do that. And just like they're never going to give you a socialized.
Buttplug is never going to be president, so it doesn't matter.
He's not going to be president, but also, you're not going to get a socialized health care. You're not going to get Medicare for all or whatever it is. You're not going to get universal basic income. You're not going to get removing aid to Israel. You're not going to get an end to Zionist wars. That is the Democrat version of the kosher sandwich. That's their thing that they promise, that they dangle out to their supporters, and that they're never going to do, just like the Republicans dangle immigration reform.
Who's this Jew that has a book about nationalism, and they're basically trying to turn like the nationalist isolationist perspective just back into neocon?
Yes, Yoram Hazony.
Hazony.
So we got to be careful about this guy, because basically The theory is, this is Stryker's theory.
Why do we have to care? It just seems to be like standard Jewish tricks. What do you have to be careful about? It's just not going to work. But go ahead.
Well, okay, don't be careful. Be aware then.
Okay.
We should talk about the fact that this is something they're doing. Ben Shapiro isn't taking.
No.
Like, Ben Shapiro does not have the gravitas to be a top guy. He just doesn't have what it takes. He's a low-level guy.
He's just unappealing.
Yeah. He's unappealing.
Yeah, he's like a little squishy rodent.
Sir. How dare you say that to me? Yeah, he's a very appealing, very good guy. where's your talk show where you
can
do commercials?
He's going to stay on the neoliberal stuff forever. He's never going to say, this Hazeny guy is saying, nationalism is great.
Yeah,
but
he seems like nationalism is imperialist non-expansionism, just like war mongering.
Yeah, no, he's
in
favor
of Israel.
Saying, yeah.
Like, American nationalism is Israel first. It's like this. It's neocon foreign policy,
right.
Just like wrapped in these terms that don't make any fucking sense.
Right. It's basically Jews are seeing which way the wind is blowing on the right. They were affected by the election of Trump and the promises he made to get elected. And so they're taking this and they're gonna use the words, right?
Right.
They're gonna remember when Trump said, "I'm a nationalist," right? That was a big
deal.
I'm
also a globalist.
Right. That was a big deal. Who hated that? It was the Never Trump Jews, and then it was Democrats and liberals and such. But they are going to take. They realize, though, that this is what people on the right want, and they need to continue to placate this group of people without actually giving them anything. And so the new thing is, well, we're going to just roll out. Like, Ben Shapiro wasn't it, right? He wasn't it, but this guy is being accepted in these intellectual circles and stuff, and he's talking about the virtue of nationalism is the name of the book he wrote, The Virtue of Nationalism. However, he's going to try and
once again,
you can never trust a Jew. Okay, our listeners don't need to be told this, but make sure that the people you talk to understand this. You cannot trust a Jew.
You cannot
this
accept
Jew,
any of them. They all screw their shit up in the end.
Yes,
they all screw your shit up in the end. No matter how, on a timeline, they eventually just do it. You see it time and time again.
This Jew is just trying to corral pro-nationalist sentiment back behind Zionism. It's what they do, and they're always going to do it. You know, there's a funny thing. So there's this Antifa woman, not Antifa, this leftist woman. She's like liking Stryker's tweets yesterday. And it leads to a meltdown where all these Antifas and these other leftists in her circles start attacking her for doing it. And Stryker actually made a very interesting point where he's like, notice how they're all going after you, but none of them go after this other member of their circles, this Antifa broad that started to write for William Crystal's The Bulwark. Why is it that they'll do that?
The Bulwark.
Like, he's like, I'm actually, Stryker's like, I'm actually an economic leftist, and I'm anti-war. So we agree at least on those things. The Bulwark is not economically left.
And it's pro-war.
And it's pro-war. It's like way, like, by your own standards, it should be way worse than me. But they're like, well,
like
you're
the,
a Nazi. And that's like the one
Krasinski thing.
Yeah.
Like Eddie Grzinski, like designing like avionics for weapon systems and shit.
Yeah, I mean that's the funny thing, and it's like the Antifa literally does not go after neoconservatism ever. They do not go after Jewish versions of conservatism, so that's not what they're worried about, right?
No.
And so you know, and like this, you know, and they, I mean, I'm looking at some of these leftists on Twitter, and they're saying things like, Tucker is repeating now, like, standard third position politics. I'm like, well, shouldn't you be glad? Remember when Chink said this on the Young Turks?
Mm-hmm.
When Chink was like, well, why are we, you know, Tucker's coming over to more.
He's willing to have the conversation.
Yeah, they're like, he's coming over to more of these lefty positions on at least on economics, and he's anti-corporate power and such. Why are we decrying this? This development? And someone had to, like, get Chink in a room and be like, dude, this is when you go after him the hardest. Like,
yeah.
You don't understand how this works, Chink.
You're
supposed to tie, like economic nationalism.
He's doing social,
to like tranny and faggot shit. That's the how that works.
You can't once somebody starts saying socialism in with nationalism, that's a familiar term that kind of people kind of don't like.
Right. I mean, Elizabeth Warren started talking about patriotic economics. Like, that's what she was literally calling it. She was saying patriotic economics. Tucker actually praised her.
Yes, I know.
And he praised her for the idea of patriotic economics. And And then he even kind of talked about the kosher sandwich a few, like, last
week.
You need
to be careful about that, dude. Patriotic economics was clearly designed by a focus group. And it was probably done to address the fact that Democrats have a real issue when it comes to trying to be patriotic or invoke any symbols of the United States. So I'm sure that's what they're trying to address.
Of course, but, like, well, first of all, patriotic economics as the term was probably focus grouped.
Yeah.
It wasn't really anything all that different from what people like Elizabeth Warren have always called for and never done.
Yeah, it's not like they're going to close the borders to do
so,
it.
So, right, that's part of the problem. But the point is not Elizabeth Warren. The point is that Tucker praised this while also saying that in order to do this, you have to have immigration restriction, and pointing out that why does Elizabeth Warren talk about this stuff, but then she also talks about, like, cutting off children's heads, you know, and tranny stuff.
Warren talked about cutting off somebody's head?
Well, we're talking about like abortion. Like
afterbirth abortion.
They're talking that's what they do.
That's what they do.
She is a real Native American.
So, it's like, but when Tucker made that point, which is something we were going to talk about last show, they freaked the fuck out.
Yeah,
they freaked out when he said he called out the kosher sandwich. I mean, he didn't call it in those terms. It's actually funny. Some people are saying, like, Tucker is, like, running out of adjectives to use that aren't other than Jew.
Yeah, he's got a
like, there's, like, a weaselly kind of passive-aggressive quality to these people.
His thesaurus, like, the pages are, like, blackened and worn down.
Yeah,
and,
like every page is dog-eared. Like, they're all, like, fingerprints all over the...
is wildly running out of adjectives. That's funny. That's funny shit.
Yeah, it's like, they're sort of like these sneaky, weaselly, underhanded...
He's international cosmopolitan.
Internationalist, globalist.
Capital interest with no tie to any
if
nation.
If he said, like, a cosmopolitan clique, that's just, like, absolutely... People will know it. I mean, remember when, like, they wrote that article about me years ago when I was at MPI and I kept saying, like, they said I was, like, bellowing. This international... I was, like, joking with the crowd. I was
international,
like,
oh, no, clique!
This international clique. And, like, the Jewish reporter said I was, like, bellowing it. And I was, like, booming. And my voice was booming throughout. And I was, like, dude, I was up making some jokes. And, like, you freaked out.
His voice was loud like a bomb.
Yeah, no, that's what it was. I was, like, it was booming in her ears. Like, it was, like, oh, God. Oh, my God. What is
oh,
he
man.
Saying?
I forgot to turn my echo thing up. I discovered a way to reconnect my echo effect for live on the show echoes, but I forgot to do it this morning.
Is it this?
No, that's the baby boom. That's the compressor. That's the boomer that died. That got replaced with a zoomer pedal. No, I didn't get that thing out. It's back behind the green screen in the audio knickknacks folder or drawer. Shit. I discovered a way to reconnect the fucking echo and I forgot to do it.
Oh,
well. Well, at least the research is done. I've done the research. Now I just
have
to. We don't
have to do it this show.
Now I just have to build the wall.
Maybe
I don't
next
really
week
wants the
when
wall.
I'm not here, you can just use that effect the
I
whole
can.
Time, and then people will be amused.
They
just
be
do
amused.
A show of drops.
Just drops and speak and
doing this voice with echo on it. And yeah. That'll
do.
Be
do
like,
we have anything lined up for next week?
Like what?
Like yeah, aren't what are you going to do?
Aren't you coming on?
I can come on if I don't have to do anything other than come on.
Oh, I thought you said you were going to come on anyway. Well,
I mean, I could. I mean, maybe I'll take one day. Maybe take Wednesday off. Maybe take Monday. I don't know.
Whatever you want to
do. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure something out.
I'll do two shows next week. But I'm going to be, like, at the beach. Maybe we'll do them from the beach.
That'd be fun.
That would actually, the wind would be like, you'd hear like, like the wind. The wind constantly. But I'll bring my USB
the
mic
wind.
There.
Yeah.
You'll see the African migrants just floating over onto the beach.
I'm hoping we're going to have a strong internet connection there. Maybe I'll put like a nice setting where the beach scene behind me. That'd be cool.
Maybe I'll put a beach scene behind me.
Yeah. That would be cool.
If we could green screen your floating head, that'd be funny. And you'd be on a fake beach with me.
Would be funny. We should see if we could set that up.
That would be really good. But you don't think you have a green... Oh, actually, I can give you the spare green screen to bring with you. If you really wanted to be inundated with such a thing.
I doubt you'd want to carry that
around. It's kind of annoying.
We have Jamie set it up.
Yeah, make Jamie carry it.
There you go. Ready? Can you do that?
Okay. That's not a nice look Jamie's giving you. I'm not sure that...
Yeah. Well, I'm used to it.
Oh. Well, but, I'm not. That was very jarring. I'm not used to that at all. Jamie's always so nice to me.
All right. So, speaking of Jamie,
I didn't spell that wrong.
Travels through Jewish America.
Oh, you want to skip right to this?
Is that, I mean, like, dude, all of America?
I don't know. I was just thinking, like, I mean, nobody else is going anywhere, so I was like, let me fill this
yeah,
void.
Let's talk about this. Let's talk about the...
So,
that was good.
Yeah, we've
Travels through Jewish America.
We've done some book burnings and things, and so one of the things Jamie does is like shopping for used items.
Oh,
like
I'm that. Against book burnings again. You know why?
Why?
I read in Douglas Reed, his book, the Jews invented it. Burning books is Jewish. They were the first to burn books.
That's what
they used to do. So like they get all upset and cry out as they strike you over the Nazi imagery of bookmarks. Like, no, it's just Jewish imagery. That's just one of the things they would do. They would just roll in, destroy a tribe, burn all their scrolls, kill all their cattle.
They would burn their scrolls?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Of course they would.
So yeah. How much ancient history of Jews destroyed?
How much history generally have they destroyed?
That's what I'm saying. I actually read that.
I mean, dude, think about the history of the 20th century. If you were to read it in a history book, would Jews even be mentioned? They might be as victims of World War II, but that's
exactly
it. But they fucking run the whole century.
Yep.
I mean, Murray Sleskin's the only one who can tell you the truth on that.
Yep.
You know? But anyway, so she, but anyway, she likes to, she was looking for some, she was finding these things. When people were wondering, like, where is this random shit coming from? So
were you like at an antique store or something?
I posted where she got it.
It's a place around here.
Don't matter.
I didn't see
anyway,
the
there's just really interesting quotes in this book, just even in the first few pages.
Mm.
So we have this. This is written by a guy named Harry Golden in 1973, and it's about Jews in America. And he just lets so much stuff slip. It's really amazing. So here on page 3, he says, much has been made of this migration and its historical consequences, which were crucial for world Jewry. He's talking about the migration to America. Half the Jews in Eastern Europe left for America, and another smaller group left for Turkish Palestine. Their descendants would eventually found the State of Israel. Shtetl Jews appreciably affected American history. Interesting. That he'll say this.
Shtetl.
But if you or I were to say this and put it someplace, you know, we would be called anti-Semites. Jewish immigrant workers were the first to win the right of collective bargaining in a strike settlement. Now, I would need to see that, what the evidence of that was. No, citation needed on that. Other immigrant Jews developed the movie industry. Okay. So, Jamie has underlined interesting passages. The destruction of the temple by Romans and the exile of the Jews was a catalytic event of Jewish theology, but Hitler's Holocaust drained it of its mythic inspiration. The exile, the diaspora, has become Joseph's Egypt. So he's basically saying what we're saying, that the Holocaust morality play is a reliving of their ancient myths, which is something I've been saying for a while. The Jews have a cycle to the way they tell the story of their people, and they have told this story before. It actually happens twice in the Old Testament if you read it. There's the exile from exile to Egypt and the exile to Babylon. But it's likely that the exile to Egypt is a faking gay story that's retelling.
Wait, pull up. Jewry would like cement in this historical record like a major persecution that didn't actually happen.
Yes.
Are you sure they would do that?
Yes.
Wow. Why would
they've been doing that? That's literally what they do.
Wow. I'm shocked, Jews. I'm disappointed in you. I can't believe you do such a thing.
Okay, so let's find some of the more important ones. Okay, so let's see. So here we have on page 21.
That's a long highlight, Jamie.
Okay, this is great, though. So listen.
Let's do it. I'm excited.
Sentiment against their migration always precedes them.
Yes.
When Jews appear before the zoning boards for their variances to build temples or synagogues, the argument is raised that during their residence in Cleveland, they have lived in 5 different neighborhoods, each of which was white when they came and black when they left. What guarantee do other residents have in Shaker Heights or Beechwood that the Jew will not one day abandon this neighborhood and by the abandonment turn the neighborhood black with all the attendant problems of a drop in reality value, a drop in realty value is skyrocketing. Well, drop in reality, well, reality value as well.
Yeah.
Both of those values drop. Drop in realty value, skyrocketing welfare costs, and frightening crime-filled streets. I like how the guy just blatantly acknowledges that's what happens when a neighborhood turns black.
I mean, imagine,
it would be impossible.
Imagine just like being able to voice that concern, like because it's actually real, and not have somebody like cutting you or getting taking your job for it.
This is a book written in 1973, so you got to remember, in 1973, it still was a very different country. Very much still.
Wow, it's post-civil rights? People were still
very much
that?
Overwhelmingly white.
Wow.
Civil rights movement was only a few years in the rearview mirror. Country was still, you know, reeling from anarchist bombings every other day and things like this. So, already there is a small Jewish out-migration from Cleveland Heights and Shaker Heights, but again, the Jews are following rich Protestants and Catholics who moved ahead of them.
You mean to get
because,
away from them?
Yeah, to get away from them. The argument is specious, but it contains a kernel of truth. Jews are not among urbanites who pioneer in building a new neighborhood. They prefer to buy a home already built on a street already developed.
And ruin
it. They prefer the enclave, and they will seek it in preference to the newer street where newcomers have not yet determined the quality or character of the neighborhood. May come down to a compromise. If the Gentile lets the Jew build his temple or synagogue, the Jew will promise to give up the delicatessen so that no one will follow him. What? What? I don't even understand what that means.
I don't know. But, I just know now I'm starving.
For Jewish deli food. Though. But
hot pastrami. Get the fuck out of here. Give it to me.
It is amazing, though, that the truth that this guy is admitting, and that in the United States of the past, even up until 1973, or at least it's something you could talk about in 1973, what Jews do with real estate and what they do to neighborhoods, and this apparently...
I've actually never heard this meme before. This was new to me.
Well, that's the thing. This is hidden history.
Yeah.
And this is what we're talking about. Jews hide history, because we don't even know the fact that... You know, they'll hide from you the fact that America used to be significantly made up of covenant communities where... Mm-hmm. You could not sell to non-whites.
Sure.
That was part of your contract. The government outlawed that, so nobody can do that anymore. And it's been written out of history, because when Jews control the conversation, they control what you know, what you hear, even just about recent history. Even recent history has been some of the most fabricated. In some ways, the older it gets, like the less stake there is in knowing and understanding it. So you can learn about that. But with recent history, like you can't know that for years in America, Jews would have to fight zoning boards because everybody knew they were going to turn the neighborhoods black. Mm-hmm. And the fact that people knew that turning neighborhoods black was bad and they didn't want it to happen. You could not go to a zoning board meeting and say, we don't want this neighborhood turned black and that's what's going to happen. If you did, you would be, your career would be destroyed. They would get you everywhere else in your life too. Probably try and take your kids.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is recent history. This book was written a few years before I was born. So, you know, like, we forget what we had and what we lost, even in, like, our lifetimes. Actually, everything was lost in our lifetimes.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, actually, not entirely. I mean, I was born late 70s, so. You have one you want to point out? Okay.
Jamie's
got a good one. So there's a bunch of quotes. I can't tell if they're good or not, but she's going to, he's going to isolate.
It's
good. Why should we stop pretending?
Zer. I know the meme is that Jamie's a dude, but
I don't think anybody buys it. So,
well, because Jamie on Joe Rogan is a dude. That's the meme. It's the same Jamie.
All right. I mean, it's funny it's sort of a ambiguous name that could be either gender. So that's why, like, Jamie could be a girl or a boy. But all right, let's see. So here we have another one. There are between 5.5 and 6 million Jews in the United States.
Oh God,
less. As the theologian Milton Himmelfarb puts it, than the smallest error in the Chinese census. This figure is a projection from the statistics collected by the Bureau of the Census for its survey, religion reported by the civilian population in the United States March 1957. This report intended to furnish data on the economic and social characteristics of Protestants, Catholics, and Jews was almost immediately suppressed at the insistence of religious organizations and groups. Notable among these groups and organizations were the Jewish social action agencies, who feared the news about Jewish incomes, education levels, and mobility would feed anti-Semitism. So, Jews have been suppressing history. Now, I don't buy this about the religious groups. I think it was just the Jews. I think even in his book, Harry Golden is covering somewhat. Because he doesn't want you to know that, you know, he's all religious groups did it, but really it was mainly just really just the Jews.
Yeah, I don't buy that at all.
Why would Catholics or Protestants care about a study of Catholic and Protestant income levels and education levels? No reason at all.
No, it's only Jews, care about that. Only Jews get triggered about having
actual information about them out there. Yeah, this is something that Douglas Reed talked about, too. How, like, actually finding out about how many Jews there are, where they are, and how much money they have is, like, a fucking almost an impossible task. And he goes over, when he's talking about the Holocaust and like, the impossibility of the numbers, he goes over, like, all these different censuses and accounts from different publications on, like, the numbers of Jews in the world and how some of them tried to sort of revise themselves in the 50s to create an image of a Holocaust, like, to create a but they didn't do the math right. So he says in one almanac you had, like, because what they were doing, they were also putting out, in the almanac they're saying the number of Jews in 1939, number of Jews in 1946. And they were doing that right up through the 50s so that they could show you that there was a difference. He's saying one almanac, I think Whitaker's almanac from the UK, he's like, they did number of Jews in 1946 is this. And then, but the problem was that if you took each individual country and looked at the number of Jews and added it up, it was like a totally different number. So they give you like one lump sum when they're trying to do their Holocaust thing. But then in another section of the almanac where they look at each country and population numbers for each country, you can take the number of Jews and add that. That's just a totally different fucking number, much higher number. So it's like, all right, what the fuck is going on here? And so, he looked at the data. Reed looked at the data, and he was actually very surprised at what
I'm not surprised at what I found at all.
I'm not surprised by it at all. It's in the chapter, The Talmudic Punishment. That's what it's called.
God, I love that book.
Yeah, that's what the chapter is called.
I
like how he calls it. Like, he's calling the Holocaust myth the Talmudic punishment.
I bought the Kindle version, so I didn't have to bring the big hardcover on the plane.
This book is giving me allergies. It's all dusty. Jesus. are there any other juicy quotes in here, Jamie?
I'm sure there's a ton of them. He's gonna have to read the book. Juicy quotes.
She picked out like 10 quotes. I don't want to read all of them, but there's some good ones. Let's see if she'll find another good one. Anyway.
So as I teased on prepping the artistic camera angle this morning. I watched some TV last night.
Oh God!
Artistic camera angle, like a Dutch angle. What were you doing with the camera?
Well, it was just askew. It was off. You know, we were diagonally doing our prep here at the desk as we do in the morning instead of prepping the car. And I teased it. I actually watched television last night, and I wanted to talk about it on the podcast. Something that never happens. I would never. Like watch some shitty Jewish entertainment and then come back to you with
without a full report.
Yeah, I would never do. But this time was different. I watched Vice Shitty Stories. I mean, Vice News Tonight, whatever it's called.
Well, that was a GTA. The last viewers. It's been canceled.
Yeah, I know it's been canceled. That's why I put it on. I was like, wait a minute. But I had to put it on. Actually, I can't even tell you why. I have to, after I do the bit, I'll tell you why I put it on. It's not important though. Vice Shitty Stories. It's the most. I can see why it got canceled. It's the most self-unaware, like shitlib narrative control. They're terrible at it. It's so bad. They without a fucking ounce of irony, they opened up the program with a kind of like hair on fire, be scared and concerned report about deepfakes. Have you even heard the word deepfakes yet? I'm convinced that, first of all, the term deepfakes, they're using it to try to, like...
The meaning of deep
to
state.
To defuse the deep state. But yeah. deepfakes is this phenomenon where video technology is going to be so good that, like, social media, people will be sharing people saying things they didn't say, like, on video, and it's going to look legit. Now, the examples they use are not legit. There's a video... Somebody made a deepfake of Zuckerberg, like, 2 weeks ago, where he's saying some... He looks like he's saying ridiculous things about himself owning all this stolen personal data. It's funny, but you can tell totally because like you can tell that like that it's not his face moving. It's like Photoshop manipulating his or something. You know, it's an after effect, and they're using it to claim that like that Nancy Pelosi drunk video that's out there. They're trying to say that was slowed down. So of course
it was, but it all was slowed down.
they went after a black guy over this because he was the one
yeah.
who, I guess.
So,
had,
so
that
wasn't
even,
a deep fake. It was
video.
A joke. But yeah, but, the, yeah. But
it was literally he was doing the thing with Jeff Goldblum and the word beige.
Right, right. Beige.
Like, and he did it with Nancy Pelosi. Like, and it was fucking beige. Funny, but he never. Yeah. Like right. anybody that, like they got so mad about that in a very strange way.
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
It's a hair on fire, deeply concerned report by this weird, like blonde hipster girl with like a husky voice. It's like the left Lauren Southern only.
But it wasn't L. Reeve. Well, L. Reeve
no, it wasn't
a husky
L. Reeve.
Voice.
But L. Reeve's like this girl's more attractive than L. Reeve. But still, it's just
it's
like
not hard.
She's really bad. She's really bad and robotic, and
yeah,
she's like a wooden. She's like a wooden robot. Like her yeah. delivery is awful. The entire thing is awful. The people she's talking to are fake. She's fake. I don't know how anybody ever watched this stuff before. But anyway, so they're doing this report as if this is like the threat to the 2020 election is these deep fakes.
Oh, Jesus.
And it has to be so. They're basically and they're having congressional hearings on it. Now, these guys in Congress who have no fucking idea what they're looking at or what to do about it, there's initiatives, like somebody has a bill they presented where they want to force everybody to put watermarks on their deep fakes. It's like, well, like, how do you know if somebody's going to put fake footage out, like, why would they, the point is to not be detected. And they're concerned that, like, the night before election night, somebody will put out a deep fake. They're not saying it, but it's like they're scared that Trump will win. Based on fake videos, because they're so bought into hacking, Russia hacking, and they're still pushing this. So they're using it to censor.
Yeah.
They basically just want to censor social media
yes,
from the right.
I think
that's what they're doing.
I think that the issue, the deep fakes, Russia hacking, and such. Now, the level of awareness of any one individual,
I haven't even gotten there yet,
in
though.
This chain of what they believe or not.
I haven't gotten to the self awareness part. But
like, yeah,
make
like
your point,
I don't know what right. what it is, right?
Right.
But I do know that the whole thing is a fake and gay psyop.
Yeah.
The whole concern over Alexa hacking, Alexa hacking. Wow, never heard of that before. Election hacking, and like fake news and social media pranksters and like mm-hmm. you know like the way they talk about it on the left is that there is this force out there that is illegitimately intruding, and the funny thing is like part of the reason they talk about that. It's because that's how the people at the top kind of feel. Like when they see us like inserting our, like we're not supposed to be able to insert ourselves
right.
into this. You know, certain views are not supposed to be able to insert themselves into the discourse. So it's like, all right, that when they do, it's like they feel like somehow that something nefarious is going on, but it's really just people's opinions. So I am just like, just let people say what the fuck they want. Let them make fake videos. If you can't stand up to that, like all you had to do is say that shit is fucking fake. Like that's how you deal with the problem. That's mm-hmm. fake.
Yeah, it's
fucking
not
lie.
That we're it's not that we're inserting ourselves into a discourse. It's that we're having a discourse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The problem
that's the
is
problem.
So they're taking things like deep fakes. I've never heard this before, but okay, fake video.
New
right?
word.
Wow.
Deep
imagine
fakes.
Video editing software
Spider-hole.
Being able to make videos of stuff that didn't really happen.
Yeah.
Like they're making like Tupac holograms. They're making like fucking what's her name? Princess Leia, what's the actress's name?
Carrie Fisher.
Carrie Fisher's like coming back from the dead to be in these movies again. Of course, this
That's
is
weird.
A possibility. So the issue really is they are having a crisis of narrative control.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
that's what
mm-hmm,
the issue
yes.
fundamentally is.
Yes.
And they're very concerned about. And behind all of this is a deep concern
deep.
That they need to be able to control the narrative, and technology is making it
deep
harder
fig.
For them in some ways. You know,
deep fig concern.
The technology is a double-edged sword because it allows all this surveillance. It allows them to dox and track down and identify mm-hmm. people with dissident opinions. But it also means dissident opinions are more widespread. So there's this thing that's going on. This sort of double-edged.
I mean, think about how wild it is that all those news publications closed down their comment sections years ago.
Yep.
That's like, we haven't talked about that in years, but that happened like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
They stopped taking user feedback like 5 years ago. And this
yeah,
is just
like, I don't want you to discuss my story. Dear God, no.
No.
Yeah, and this is just a continuation
and if they have,
of...
if they have comments, it's like Facebook-powered comments, so if yeah. you say anything bad, you're just banned from Facebook for 30 yeah. days.
And the other thing is this, that like they were always going to ban you if you went in and said like nigger, 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 right? Like nigger, 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 nigger.
Nigger alert.
They're always going to ban you for that, right? But the thing is that what we got really good at and what frustrates them, and actually, Richard made a good point on Twitter the other day, which he said, like, what I want is a hard and fast set of rules for all social media. He's like, you know, everyone's complaining about the new YouTube rules, and they do suck. But if we have a hard and fast set of unchanging rules, we'll be better off. Now, they're never going to do that, though. And the reason
he's asking
never,
Jews for a hard and fast
smart.
Set of rules. Asking Jews for a hard and fast set
no,
of rules no. that you can't work around. Come on.
No, he knows that that's not going to happen, but
know.
He's making the point because as usual, conservatives are taking the wrong angle. Conservatives are talking about, like,
they're not saying, like, fuck your rules, I have the right to say these things because First Amendment is the rule, right? Like, that's the...
Yeah, like, that's part of it. But the other thing is, like, look, even if they want to go beyond the First Amendment, if they lay out... Because remember how we used to drive people crazy back in the YouTube, the Facebook trolling days, and Alex wrote his trolling guide, and one of the guides was, like, assiduously follow the rules of the group. If there's, like, moderator rules for the group, follow them to the T.
Yeah.
You can always find a way around them. You can always find a way to talk about the things you want to talk about. Yep. Like, you know, they have to outlaw the word internationalist. They'd have to outlaw the word globalist. They'd have to outlaw cosmopolitan clique. They'd have to outlaw all of this stuff. And we would find just another word that would suit us. So
middle-class workers of the founding of the nation's founding stock. Nationalism.
So, yes, yeah. Working people, salt of the earth, the good people, the decent people. You know what I mean? Like, these are all just dog whistles. For, I mean, politicians have been doing this, dog whistling white people with these kind of euphemisms for years. So we can always do that. Mm. The thing is that this is why they won't give a hard and fast, because they don't, what they want to censor changes. It could be, what idea is dangerous
well, they
want
to censor us.
Like, yeah, it's situational.
That's the thing, is it?
No right-wing opinions. No effective right-wing discourse.
Well, that's why Twitter attacks people. They don't attack accounts. Like, it's like, if this account broke the rules, this account goes. But then they're like, if you personally are banned. Like, you personally don't get to talk. That's a weird thing, right? It's not just like, oh, this account has been doing bad stuff, so we're going to get rid of it. No. This individual. And then Twitter said they were going to start looking at individual behavior outside of Twitter. That they kind of abandoned that.
They just used that to ban a swath of people bother come back.
With their purge in 2018, that was their excuse. They don't use that excuse anymore.
Yeah.
So, and they've now even said they're allowing white nationalists for a little while because they're hoping. And then we see these de-radicalizer accounts, like this account that said, I've been a James Alsop fan since he was a Rand Paul supporter.
Since before he started making videos.
Since before he started making videos and was a Rand Paul supporter, neither of which were ever true. Like,
the best thing you can do for like a week if you're on Twitter is just change your bio so it says former white nationalist. Just take all the oxygen.
Everyone's
out of this
doing
nonsense.
That, dude. Everyone's former all right now. It's hilarious. Yeah. It's really funny.
So, with.
That's the thing. They can't. This is another part of their frustration. They can't actually win with this shit. Like, that kind of stuff can't work. It just can't.
Yeah, they're desperate. They don't know what to do about this, but the smart thing would be just let it happen.
Yeah.
People believe us.
It's like the Jack Bauer in 24. Yeah. Don't fight it.
Like you've
you're in the Jack Bauer chokehold.
Yeah.
Just don't fight it. Don't fight it.
You're losing your grip on United Stay. We're waking people up. Just, like, move on to China.
Deal
with that. You can have Africa.
I mean, the thing is, like, the United States is, like, in macro form, like what the Cleveland neighborhood is in micro form. Like, Jews will leave. Yeah. It'll be black.
Now it's going to be black.
And they'll move on.
Move on to China.
It's like, sorry, Jews, we don't want to let you in our country. Because every time you go into a country, you crash out the real estate values, you turn the place black, and then you leave.
Yeah.
Like.
It ain't right. So with Vice shitty stories.
What they've done it to the... It was a nice white country. You came in, you left, and it was black, and it was wrecked, and now you're in China. China.
So the Vice shitty stories, lack of self-awareness that I wanted to bring up. Yeah. So they do this long hair on fire segment about beware of fake video footage. And without a segue, just a hard cut, they do a segment on the White Helmets.
No self-awareness.
Just like,
wow.
Just straight to a propaganda organization.
That's real video
that makes fake videos.
Badly. Makes fake videos.
Bad videos of terrorist attacks and people handling. What kind of gas were people handling with like rubber gloves?
Did they talk about like the gas canister on the bed? Like, remember that whole bit? The Bellingcat?
Yeah. Just write to like these poor people that are just, they're in Idlib. Just like trying to help out the poor slubs that are getting BTFO by the regime they tried to overthrow.
Yeah. I love like the
as if like the... as I like the idea that like attempting to overthrow a regime and losing is like a great injustice. It's like it's like the meme of revolution. Like it must always, every revolution must prosper, otherwise it's tyranny. It's like, how about you tried and you lost, let it go.
Like, well, that's the funny. The discourse on Syria has always frustrated me. Because yeah. it's like they won't budge on it either. It's like they won't like they. It's and it's like look, we know the
they
game is
go.
Up, and
yeah.
we know what these people. There are no moderate rebels. The moderate rebels are ISIS and yeah. al-Nusra and affiliated groups, Islamist groups funded by Israel, United States, and Saudi Arabia, and we know this. And they're not moderate. They're radical jihadists. They cut off children's heads. That aren't infants, you know, when they're like 10 years old, like they're literally
it's not an abortion practice.
This video where these guys are cutting off this kid's head in the, with the saw in the back of the truck.
I've never
like all this
that
morbid
shit.
Video
that
I've never
shit.
Watched it because I can't take it. It's terrible. But this is what these people do.
Right.
And these are the people we are funding.
Right.
And like people know this. So when Vice used to have some integrity about this kind of thing where they would go and they would go into dangerous places and they talk to weird people and stuff. And they would not have done this white helmet shit. But they've been totally fucking Jewed and totally compromised. I mean, Gavin was responsible for a lot of that, like to his credit, to them not being fake and gay.
Yeah.
And now they're totally fake and gay. And they're repeating the shitty Zionist propaganda. And nobody buys your moderate rebel shit. Trump didn't buy it.
Nobody buys
that it. That was a funny thing.
They played a clip of Assad calling them Al-Qaeda. And that was just like, this was like so offensive. Like, oh, how dare he? Like, he's lying. It's like,
no, he's not.
He's not lying at all. Like, who do you think is over there?
But that's like, it's like, also, I love, this is also total, it's like kosher, this is again, left wing, the left side of the kosher sandwich. So, they're going to get their deep concern about, like, white nationalism.
Deep fake concern.
Deep fake concern, show title.
Show title. Deep fake concern.
So, I like that. You got that, Jamie?
I got that.
So,
spell it. Make
gonna,
sure you spell it right.
They're going to do their deep fake concern about fake videos, Russia hacking, blah, 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 Trump and white nationalism and radicalism, blah, blah, blah. And then they just give you bullshit.
Yeah.
Zionist war propaganda. Like, Vice News, it's really amazing. Aren't these, like, supposed to be radical, like, leftists that don't care about the power structure and will, like, buck the system and shit? And here they are just literally repeating, like, fucking neoconservative Zionist propaganda.
Huh. Are they running stories about limpet mines and the Gulf of Oman? Is that the next
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, I mean, we do want to talk about that, but I just, this irks me so much, because this is not something, when I was a leftist, the left wasn't like this.
No, they
like,
weren't.
People that were anarchists and communists and leftists that were anti-war, first of all, you had to be anti-war. Like, it was, if you could not have, given, if anybody then tried to do this kind of shit,
mm-hmm.
If anyone on the left in like the late 90s, early 2000s was trying to pull this kind of bullshit that they're doing with Syria, everybody would be like, yeah, I get the fuck out of here.
And most they would do is they would have some canned rhetoric about Assad being like a dictator that the United States prop up and we shouldn't support evil. Like they wouldn't be like regime change now.
No, they
support.
Would be against regime change, but they would also make sure to say they don't support Assad.
Right.
But that would be just bullshit that doesn't matter. And this is one of the things that conservatives did with Saddam. They'd be like, well, you support Saddam. People are like, no, we don't support Saddam. They'd be like, well, you effectively do because you're saying we shouldn't take him out.
Yeah.
And I used to just say, fine, then I support him. And this is one of the reasons I started splitting from these people, because I was just like, I don't see, because I was like, why are you, I think with them, I was like, why are you letting them, and I didn't realize I was dealing in a Jewish, I wasn't totally aware of everything, but I knew that Jews were involved here. But I was like, why are you letting them run this conversation like that? That was my approach. I was like, why are you letting them derail you into start defending the fact that you know, starting to try and defend Saddam's record? The point is, who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
You know, and that's the other thing. Like, and also, like, if Assad, well, it's funny, there was a guy named that, too. The Egyptian.
My new gamer handle.
If Assad were to actually crack down hard on these Muslim fanatics in his country, I don't give a fuck. Even if he uses chlorine gas, I don't give a fuck. Like, I just don't care. If there's some area that's overtaken by ISIS and Assad moves in and he fucking just erects them, I don't care. Like, I'm happy about that. I'll kind of just golf clap from my room.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. And, dude, in 1980-something, I think it was 84, in the 80s, his father, Hafiz Assad, did this. He went into this city called Hama, which was taken over by these style of radicals. And they just fucking killed, like, 10,000 people. They went in, they basically surrounded the city with the army. And this is back, the Syrian regime was stronger then, right? It was
exactly. I mean, this is what
the
do Middle when East, you have
when you have this problem. they had not been, the whole region hadn't been plundered. It was shitty, but it wasn't the chaos that it is now because of, you know, Zionism. So they go in, they surround this town. This is a relatively large, you know, sort of like 300,000 or so. And they went street by street and they took out these people. And they were trying to overthrow the government and install one of these crazy Islamic regimes. And they were exactly the same kind of people as ISIS is, as Al Qaeda is. They were exactly the same ideology, inspired by the same people. And they went and they just killed them. And of course the US and Israel go nuts attacking the Assad, you know, the Assad senior
regime.
Where's
George Clooney?
And it's still, you can look it up. It's called the Hama Massacre. It was a big deal. And the US went, but why would I give a fuck about this? I'm like, why isn't the U.S. State Department just hanging like a nice, cool, hands-off touch
like,
here?
Wow, that looks like that was rough.
Oof, that looks
but
rough.
I want to know where George Clooney is. Where's my Syriana for 2019? Where's my film? Where's my film that like morally justifies like Islamic terrorism because the evil bad West and by the way, it's Jewish ally are trying to like wreck your regime and ruin your country for like basically economic gain.
This is where the blowback narrative falls apart.
Yeah.
Because while I do think that there is people in the Middle East that hate America,
mm-hmm.
and like let's be honest, not entirely wrong, based on their experience.
Well,
of
when
what
you know
America
why they
is.
Hate America, it's be like, wow, it'd be so easy to just like
to just not do
not
that.
Not do things that make them hate
yeah.
us.
And it's like you can't if you're denying that they. It's like look,
I forgot
they don't have cheeseburgers.
They hate me for my freedoms to like yeah. not post
they
on
hate
YouTube.
You, they hate your cheeseburgers
I'm free,
and your
free,
apple
yeah.
pie. Right?
I'm free to not post on YouTube, not post on Twitter, not post on Facebook, whatever I want. I'm free to like have to very carefully, you know, like correct and use my wearing out my thesaurus along with Tucker Carlson
yes.
on what kind of words yes. I can say on the internet without getting banned.
Yeah, but I mean, look,
I'm free to not use whatever like you know credit card processing service that I want to use. I'm free to not have PayPal at all. Because, yeah.
Well, the thing is this.
Do you have PayPal? No.
No PayPal.
No PayPal.
They don't have PayPal.
Maybe I can get Alipay.
I'll bet you. You know who probably does have PayPal is ISIS.
They probably do.
I'll bet you ISIS has PayPal.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I'll bet you that they fucking do. I'm not
and
even
I bet,
joking.
I bet when the Jews send them money, they click the friends and family option so they don't have to pay the fee. They gotcha. Sorry. I told a joke while you're drinking water.
This not coffee. Good. It would have been even worse.
Wow. Snarking coffee.
The other thing is like. Oh, I had a thing. I lost it because of that joke.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Well, it's probably on the same theme. Oh, well, what I was going to say is, so, when your whole experience of something is just like death and destruction, like, why wouldn't you hate it? Like,
yeah.
What is our experience of Islam in the West?
Death and destruction.
It's death and destruction. It's bombings and I mean,
weird clothes.
Generally speaking, like, they always try to introduce you to, like, these human interest stories of these good Muslims that live in some town or something
like
that.
Yeah, it's
like, I don't care, because my understanding of Muslims is these people go boom.
Yeah, it's like one of these, right? Like, you're going to have this nice town, and at least one of them is going to, like,
yeah, here's a group of
people.
Here's a family of people where the women wear headscarves, but otherwise they, like, act like white people.
It's like, all right, which
don't
one
hate
of these,
them, Goy.
Which
it's
one
like,
of these
right,
is a murderer?
Maybe these people are nice, but, like, I don't care, because... Basically, my experience of Islam in the United States and the West is generally that of them going out around shooting stuff up and blowing stuff up and creating carnage. That's how we experience them. They experience the United States the same way in their country.
Yeah.
So here's the solution. They stay there, we stay here, and we don't fuck with each other. That's the solution. But the Jew is like, no. Oh, no.
Oh, no. The virtue
we need
of
these people.
The virtue of nationalism.
Yes.
Just attach it to Zionism.
Yes.
Like that's the virtue we're going to insert into nationalism.
Well,
Zionism right
the good thing about the Yoram Hazony thing is that when they're trying to cover something, when they see this thing is a threat that they need to cover, that means that we're like right in the target zone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that means they're just trying to account for it, but they just can't. They're not going to let them do it. We're not going to let them get away with it. But of course, the Jew is the one that comes in and is like, oh no, we need Muslims in the West. And we, at the same time that we pump them full of anti-Western propaganda,
right,
we're
going
to put them directly in the West.
Right, we need them in Jerusalem.
Yes.
We need Muslims in Jerusalem.
I think that Israel needs to be a democratic state for all the people.
Yeah.
I forget this two-state solution. Let's have a one
like,
democratic state for
like
all
that,
the
that
people
entire region is,
that live
is,
in Israel and Palestine.
That entire region is Arab, you know, Muslim land.
In fact, I think
except
whole,
for this one little sliver that's like walled off.
I think the whole Middle East should just be a democratic Arab state.
A super state.
Well, like what it used to be when it was the Ottoman Empire. I think it would be great to have, you know, a large democratic country out there. Yeah.
I wonder how many Muslims we could get to leave the United States if we just promised them Israel. Like, we'll give you that holy land over there that you've been fighting over.
I think it's worth a trial balloon worth floating out there.
But I mean, like that phenomenon is supposedly why we support Israel, as you know, officially. It's like, oh, They're the only democracy there. Meaning like
implying I give a shit.
I know, but like that's the position. Like when they say democracy, what they mean is like that's the only non like desert filled shitty brown people in the and don't you
it's not
fucking,
entirely not though.
But I mean that's just what they say.
Boomer
but
propaganda.
But that's funny. Yeah, like that's what they I know, but they get you and the boomer to like identify with that. Like you identify with the idea like oh this is a democratic state, meaning that like it's not brown and shitty. It's civilized. Yeah. And yeah. But you can't like overtly identify with that at home though. Right, like you're a bad person.
Right, yes.
If you identify with like, oh, this is a white civilized country, it's like, whoa, easy.
Well, they
slow
do.
Slow down there, Hitler.
They
no,
do
it's
try
not.
to imply like that. Yeah. You know, these people are more like they basically say these people are more like you than the other people, so you should side with them, and it works.
But I mean, at home.
On a surface level, it seems to be so because look, they all live in condos and play golf, and like drive around and go to the beach and shit. Right, so they live like people in Florida, just over there in the Middle East.
Yeah.
Right, so it looks familiar, right? It's like it's got infrastructure, first world infrastructure.
They're not big on abortion.
They got gay pride
Neither
parades.
Oh, I guess they do have gay pride parades. Well, we're throwing the gay
Although
pride
they,
parades.
Although they hide that from the we have to. We're making sure that all these Michael Savage listeners are well aware of all the gay shit that goes on in Israel. And boy, they won't believe it. It's really fun. I mean, boomers are a lost cause.
Boomers
at this
are
point. I just consider
I
them
to
be use
them
for just amusement because it's hilarious just to watch them watch the boomer hamster wheel. Like rationalization.
Don't get me started on boomers. I went to Boomer Carnival the other night, and I'm just so ready for their generation.
Oh man, that made me so happy reading that post. So hold on, we have to talk about this. So you went to some sort of Battle of the Bands type thing.
Yes.
The entire bar was boomers. And
Battle of the Boomers.
And the rules for like advancing in the contest was how many donations you could get from the crowd. So basically, it's boomers giving money to you, and that's how you. That's how you move on.
It's like TPUSA.
It's awful. Yeah. So like you win, you're like, boom.
Yeah. That's why Charlie Kirk says boom.
Yeah,
boom.
So my dad was performing there, and I didn't quite understand the rules at first. Then I found out, and I was like, so it's really just a matter of like how many boomer friends you have, you know, that follow your band.
How many
and
boomer,
that's how,
how many,
it works.
How many boomer friends would rather give you their money and, rather than like leave it to their children?
Well, isn't that how Battle of the Bands always works?
It,
like the band
encapsulated
that has
this
the most
thing.
Friends wins because they bring all their friends?
Yeah, but usually there's not money involved. Usually it's not like giving money, putting money in a cash box. You're not
just
tip
golf
jarring.
Claps.
Yeah, it's just like somebody. There'll be a judge who like judges intangible weird, but he'll also throw in this who's a better performer type shit.
Yeah.
That tends to happen too.
But, that's what they had to do for the final round of elimination. But what sucked is they cut out. Like one of the best acts was one of the first ones that was removed because it was a, I don't know, like a teenage girl from 100 miles away. So she didn't have any friends there, no boomer friends to support
that
her.
That sucks.
But yeah, it's interesting how this encapsulates.
Because the boomer like, will never like be principled and vote for the best act. Like, this like offends me as an Xer. I'm like, as an Xer, I have to be very principled.
Yeah, to be
tonight.
Fair, I can't just come. Yeah. I can't come in here.
Yeah,
and
that's
be
why
loyal
I was so
mad.
Well, that's the thing. Xers will actually do
this,
that. They
like,
legitimately will vote for the best act.
Oh yeah,
the last
thing an Xer wants to do is like vote for its own side, right?
Yeah.
don't take your own side, Xer. You're way too nihilist. You're way too principled to have such a hokey belief as like taking your own side and being loyal to your pals.
Also, the Xer wants to be known as like the best music critic.
That too.
So he's gonna be like, well.
God,
performance here was
it's like we were talking about High Fidelity. The top five records.
I fucking hate High Fidelity.
That made my wife so mad.
What the? Oh, did I said I hated it?
Yeah.
What? I fucking hate that movie.
When I said it, we're like, I'm like, have you watched High Fidelity?
Why should
like,
I like
it? Since you've been like happily married, it's like the worst pile of shit ever. Like High Fidelity is only good if you're like a sad.
She's mad that I hate it. What did she care what I think? Or she's
no, like,
mad that you hate it.
Well, no, it's just mad in general. It's like, I can't believe you guys have said mean things about High Fidelity. You know, it's like, it's a good movie.
Sucks.
It was a funny movie. I'm like, I watched it after I wasn't single anymore, and it was like the worst thing ever. Like,
I watched
this
it when I was single, and I turned it off.
When I was single, I liked it because I was like sad. I was like, I wish I could find a loyal woman, too.
That's like literally a fucking blackpilling movie for a single dude.
Like, yeah, it was reveling in misery. If you watched
it. I watched it. I remember I was told that it was good by a friend.
Never seen it.
And I was like, all right, so I liked this is back in the day when you still had VHS, and so I picked it up at Hollywood Video.
Fuck yeah,
which is down the street
from one of my old
apartments had a Hollywood Video down the street. Also had a Blockbuster around the other corner. So I was
Blockbuster's too expensive. Fuck that. Go to Hollywood.
Well, I went to Hollywood Video. Hollywood Video is bigger. And you could also, it was as it was going out of business, you could just buy these things for $1.99 each.
Yeah, I remember that.
So
shit.
That was awesome. They knew they were going out of business. They were just fucking like fire selling all
just,
this.
Yeah,
shit.
Slinging tapes.
I bought a lot of tapes. I picked up High Fidelity with a stack of other movies, and I watched it, and I was just like, I don't have a GF. Like, I recently moved out of my parents' house. I was in my first apartment, I was at my first job.
So you wanted to kill yourself, right?
I didn't want to kill myself, but I was like, how will I ever
be radicalized by internet posters?
No, I was like, how will I ever find GF? I was like early 20s.
Never find GF
in my first apartment with a good job. Well, I was doing everything was fine, but I was like, where the fuck am I going to get a fucking GF here? Like, how is that going to even happen? And I watched that movie, and I was like, God, I put it in the drawer.
It's coming back to me now. The little narratives in that film are kind of problematic.
I can't remember because
he breaks up with GF, but like not. I don't know. It's like they keep in contact, and he's like stalking her, and like
isn't it she gets married and starts being happy with her marriage and shit, and then he's just watching this happen.
No,
I don't remember this shit.
No, she's dating some guy that he hates at one point, and he like fantasizes about killing himself, which is pretty funny. Like he drops an air conditioner on Tim Robbins' face, which is pretty great.
But
the narrative that happens is like, so they've got a relationship that works, right? They're two happy white people, they're doing pretty well, and then whatever, he does something dumb and fucks it all up. But it takes like when her father dies, she like comes back to him, because I think like that sense of like, hey, there's more to this than like cummies and going out and dating and stuff. So it's like this kind of like the sort of dread of your mortality and yada 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 whatever, like draws her back to like, wow, I should really be in the monogamous relationship with this guy, whether it was working out for better or worse, you know. It's like I found it strange. It's like wait, what happened to like Party Fun Girl that doesn't like this dude? Oh, dad died, now you're sad, and now you realize that like, wow, maybe like making a family is more important. Just
so that was actually the lesson of the movie.
I don't think it was the lesson, but when I remember this happening, like there's no other explanation for her coming back to him other than her dad dies, and it like puts this big hurt on her soul, and she realizes there's a hole in her being because she's a whammon.
That's not a terrible lesson, I suppose.
No, I'm saying it's problematic for like, I'm sure that's not what Hollywood wants.
Not anymore.
But then he ends up asking her to marry him. She's like, no, but thank you for asking, which was like, that's like,
what the fuck?
I know, that's like where it gets back on track at that point. And that's how,
at that point, it's like, all right, now we're back in the real world.
Yeah, yeah. And it kind of ends that way.
No, but thank you for asking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't even really remember the movie because I remember
because
like,
he cheated on her or something. That's why she says no. That's why they broke up. I think he cheated on her.
See, because the thing is, I always hated the John Cusack type. Yeah. Like, I always hated the kind of character he played. So as I was watching the movie, I realized, like, I was like, I hate the protagonist in this movie. So like halfway through, I turned it off.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck this.
Yeah.
I just threw the cassette in the garbage. Yeah,
it's like Man-Child.
This is a movie I'm not.
It's like beta Man-Child.
I was expecting. See, I don't know why I was, but I was expecting it just to be like a slapstick comedy, just like funny haha shit. And it was this touching, heartfelt. And
no,
I was just like, fuck
it was
this.
It was a novel. Some Brit Bong wrote this book. It wasn't just slapstick comedy. It was a movie made out of it was to take place in London, but they moved it to Chicago for the. Moved to Chicago, and there's like no black people, nobody getting killed. So in before, must be the other part of Chicago.
When was it written? Taking place in
I don't know when it wrote was written, but the movie was made in like 98 or 99 or something like that.
Yeah,
it was a long time ago.
Yeah, no, I remember. Some guy, one of my friends, and the thing is, one thing back then, what I didn't do is I didn't go back to that friend and be like, "Yo, what's with this faggot shit? Why are you recommending me this gay emo bullshit? Like, what the fuck is this?" So I used to watch movies back then because, you know, funny, when I moved to that apartment, I didn't even have my own computer. I did not have my own laptop.
Wow. I never had a laptop. I had a computer.
Or
I had a desktop.
I didn't even have a desktop.
CRT monitor.
I would go to work and be on the computer all day.
Wow.
So I didn't need a computer
at
my apartment. Yeah.
Wow, you're like a quasi-boomer. That's what my dad does now.
I mean,
no internet at the house. Just use it.
I didn't want to spend money on it because it's like I have if I need it. And I would sometimes go in.
What
on
am I
going
to work at home and not get paid?
Well, I would go in on. Sometimes I just go to my office on Saturday and just like use a computer
like,
for my own personal.
Like print out directions to places you want to go to, stuff like that.
I would do that. Well, I would just do that while at work. I didn't need to go Saturday for that. But if I wanted to just fuck around on the internet, I would. I'll just go in and work. I just go in the office.
Sounds good.
My boss didn't care. He's a Palestinian, actually.
I bet he really likes you now.
He fucking hated Jews.
Yeah, I bet
he would like
us
now. Dude, he would love. He hated Jews, and he never wanted to say He would always say the Israelis. He would never say the Jews. But we, I guarantee you.
Basically, go,
that's a funny thing. Palestinians fucking hate Jews. Okay, they don't. It's not, and they have very good reasons for it. Like they, you know, they don't. There's none of this. Like, it's not the Jew. I mean, they'll say that if they're looking to be like in charge of some leftist bullshit in the United States, they'll do that bit. But they'll totally cover for Palestinians that are just like fucking hating the Jews. I knew this kid in the city that was, he was a Palestinian. He worked me at one of my earlier jobs, and we became friends. And one of the reasons I became anti-Israel is the shit that he was telling me. But he was very left and very PC. But I went to have dinner at his house, and his uncles, boy, they fucking, they were just straight up. Like, they did not care. They were just fucking kikes. Like, they just, they hated them so much. As did, like, all of his relatives. It was pretty funny. And he would kind of be cringing a little bit, but I thought it was funny. So I was just like, whatever.
I wanted to finish my little boomer thing.
Alex. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry.
Just there's something that struck me about this. Like,
we derailed the derail.
The goal of this Battle of the Bands thing was to go to Nashville. And, I mean, I was supposed to be there in support of my dad, who's got a boomer band. It's nothing but boomers in this band. And they're all excited about this possibility of going to Nashville. And I'm watching this performance take place, and I'm like, wait a minute. You've got two young talents, right? Like, there was a guy there and a girl, and they're both younger, and they amazing vocalists. It's like, why are you squeezing these people out of the way so that you can, at 62 years old, like, engage in this fantasy of becoming some sort of musician? Like, it's time for you to step aside. Like, age gracefully. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, these people deserve to have a shot. And yet again, it's another case of, like, boomers just standing in the way of the next generation. Like,
I have an idea. Like, no disrespect to your father, but it's like, you're 60-something years old. Like, just drive to Nashville. Just go. Just go to Nashville. I'm sure you could book your band at a bar somewhere in Nashville. Like,
yeah,
where are you going to go? Like, is that, like, if you win the contest, you're going to go to Nashville, and you're going to be the next Elvisine. You're going to be the king of rock and roll when you get to Nashville and play whatever, like, the affiliate bar for our fucking Battle of the Bands is. Like, yeah, that's not going to happen. You're going to go to Nashville. You're going to play a little show. Basically, you're going to travel to Nashville and play a show that you won't get paid for because it's a contest. You're free. You're a third world immigrant labor in Nashville that night. Then you get sent. Only in this case, you get sent home when it's over. You're not allowed to stay. Like, that's like Battle of the Bands contest. It's like when a bar wants a bunch of bands to play, but they don't want to pay them. You know, throw a Battle of the Bands, then you get a bunch of free eager musicians to show up.
Just go to Branson. Go to Branson and just like play in Branson.
What's
just
Branson?
Like the biggest boomer vacation.
Oh, that's you know right, about Branson. Yes, we talked about Branson.
Yeah. We got to do Mania in Branson.
We should go to Branson.
We should literally do Mania. Branson.
I just want to do. Prep on the road. We just road trip to.
I've been told that if you go to Branson, you got to be well behaved. Like, so maybe Mania might not be the best option. Mm. Although Mania's been very well behaved recently. But I don't know. I think Mania Branson would be hilarious.
That would be funny.
But I just want to go there sometime because I've heard so much about it. And it's just like before it's not what it was anymore, which it still is now because it's in the middle of the country. It's like where boomers from like the Midwest and the Plain States go because. And it's like it's supposed to be a very hip spot for them. If people don't know about Branson, you know, if you live on the coast, Branson's like, what? That exists? Like, you don't know that there's actually a city that you go to for vacations and tourism that's like not on the coasts.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway. I don't want to keep ranting about boomers, but I've never seen a generation that aged with such little grace.
60 like, the new 40, bro.
Yeah, it's just like just no self-awareness. Like, generations before them, when they got older, they knew that they were old, and they didn't suddenly believe at, like, 65 that they were going to become a musician and, like, take off on this whole other life path.
Yeah, that's a very boomer outlook. And the thing about boomers is, and I was talking to this about, like, why is it that boomers are, like, an aberrant, whatever. They're, right. different.
Like a Tarrant, like a Brenton.
Well, they like him, but like
they like Brent and Tarrant.
Some of them do.
Boomer Waffen.
Yes, but the thing about boomers is that why are they like they are? Why is it that other generations? Because if those of you that had the privilege of knowing people from the generation before boomers, like if your grandparent, my grandparents were that old, so I knew them and I knew their circles that they ran in, and they were. They didn't have the boomer deficiencies. Like they were capable of nuance. They were capable of understanding. They were capable of empathy and things like this. And And they were also not complete. They were willing to discuss things. They were completely locked into a mindset. It's very strange. And so I was talking to a buddy about this. And I'm like, what is it and about the boomers? And he's like, well, what happened was the boomers are the only generation. Or we don't know. There might have been boomers of the past. There could have been boomers in the past. We just don't know about it because it's hard to sort of record
boomers
that
of
thing.
The past.
Right. Like the phenomena of a boomer generation could have happened at points in the past. We just don't know about it. And he said that what it was is that boomers were raised in a time when cradle to almost grave. They were coddled and completely controlled by the most competent group of world managers. So after World War II was like the apex of the power of
the economic boom after
that. Yeah, it was the economic and the baby boom.
Yep.
And it was before all the troubles with diversity came in. And even when those troubles started coming in, these people were capable of...
They were
like just continuing. Yeah, they were still insulated, or they became part of it as like a social protest thing that then they could easily just not pay attention to the results of by getting a house elsewhere or whatever. And they grew up in communities with high social trust and social capital and all that stuff, but they also had TV from cradle to grave. So they were basically managed. They were a generation that was completely ensconced in the kosher sandwich and completely managed by a competent group of Jews. From cradle to, like I said, cradle till now.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is why...
cradle till condo.
cradle to condo. That would be another good show title, yes. So from cradle to condo, these people's opinions... And really, they are still being managed
from cradle
by Jews.
The issue
is that, I know that one of the things that the Greatest Generation parents said was that we tried to give our kids everything because we had so little. Like, that's a common sentiment among them.
Yeah, it's a really weird backlash.
Yeah, having survived the Great Depression, having lived through the Great Depression, many of them... Like, my grandmother used to talk about the Depression a lot.
Yeah.
Because she had actually lived through it. And so this was the Greatest Generation or the Silent Generation, whatever you want to call them. I don't like calling them the Greatest Generation. It's kind of a Jew meme. But whatever we want to call
them. They're great because they saved the Jews.
Yeah, that's the only reason. Other than that, everything else they did was awful, right?
Yeah.
But because
they're
suffered.
They're the Greatest Generation because they are responsible for the one time that the J left, like the one event in which they are totally might makes, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, the fascists lost the war. Therefore, might makes right. That's over. We defeated this thing. It's done.
Yeah.
Might makes right. And every other context, might makes right is barbaric and wrong.
I guess the other thing with the Greatest Generation, though, is they survived the Great Depression. They survived these wars. So at that point, they were just fucking tired. And it was very easy to just make them do what you wanted
greatest,
them to do.
We said greatest, not boomers. The boomers survived Vietnam for whatever.
Well,
that
boomers,
was.
Well, most of them didn't even go. I mean, boomers survived the campus protests where they burned their draft card.
Yeah,
that's what they survived.
I don't think there were that many boomers in Vietnam, honestly.
No, not that many went. I mean, the total number of people, something like 60,000 to 70,000 died, and something like 500,000 total were deployed. So,
yeah, and boomers. The other weird thing about them is they're very self-conscious about their image or their idea of themselves, but they're not self-aware. Like, at 36, I don't have any sort of pretensions of becoming a Tour de France, like, road cyclist, like, racer or something. I might do a little racing here and there, but I don't think I'm going to invent myself into that. But boomers at 60 would seriously almost entertain this kind of stuff. Like, they're just so – the disconnect and, like, the lack of understanding your place in time and history. It's so – I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah, well, they have – like I said, they are the most Jew-controlled – remember when we did the meme of, like, which – you know, who controls what generation or, like, what – and it's, like, boomers are like, the Jew generation. Xers are, like, the black generation. And then, like – Zoomers are like, what is it? It's just like multicultural, or the gays, like the Zoomers love the fucking queers.
Zoomers are the trans generation.
Yeah. It's like the queers and the trans, or it's like
millennials are a gay generation.
Okay, that's what
they're totally.
Yeah, so Xers were blacks, millennials were gays, and Zoomers are now like just polymorphous perverse.
Zoomers are the fistula generation.
But that is funny. So the boomers were completely everything that they saw, heard, and thought until, you know, their brains had ossified in their, you know, 40s was controlled by Jews, by the most effective Jewish regime ever. Mm-hmm. that of TV cradle till grave, really, or cradle till condo. And so they're still controlled by it. So there's no, and their brains are well frozen by now. There's no change in them now. Like, these chemical pathways have all hardened.
We're going to talk about it in the second hour, but that's the one thing I'm seeing my I'm seeing my family this weekend. And I'm dreading like what my dad has to say about the Persian Gulf of Tonkin incident that just took place.
It's funny. The other thing about it is like you can probably convince him in like the moment.
Yeah.
But then tomorrow it'll be like it never happened. You know, the next day.
But like, I don't really have anything other than like, this is not real.
Just tell him like, this is some bullshit. Like, this is fake. Like, who cares? First of all, why do you care about? First of all, Iran are the good guys in the Middle East, and second of all, like, what the fuck do you give a shit? Like, this is not real. Like, you know, this was a Japanese tanker.
You're supposed to do it in the second hour.
Okay.
Yeah, we gotta do this in the second hour. I have a link pulled up here because the.
We also got the video.
We're good, we
Captain the
Crisis
Initiation.
Crisis Actor Initiation. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have to do that as well. So I guess we should just take it.
Well, you're thinking we're up United
against,
States.
We have to be up against the hour.
Oh, yeah. We're over the hour. We were shitposting, so I figured we'd...
We
didn't
really shitpost. We were talking about the important topic of boomers and their cultural
aspirations. Boomer analysis is the...
Crispy as fuck! Jesus Christ!
The paradise of the boomer is to go to some fucking shitty bar next to a lake that serves cocktails in plastic cups.
Like, yeah, I saw the pics. It looked like a nice place. So I wouldn't mind going there.
But you know, one of the things that they're complaining of, they're talking about, which is there's gonna be a lot of changes, particularly.
A lot of these
changes have already happened where we live, so we don't necessarily notice it. But when you go towards middle of the country, like talking Midwest, flyover country, whatever, chain sit-down restaurants like a Perkins or a Bob's.
Fuck.
These are going out of business because
boomers eat
out all the time, but they settle for this mediocre fare. But when Xers and below, one, they don't eat out as much because they're poorer. And when they do, they want to actually get something good. Yeah, they want to get something like good and unique.
Same conversation. So all of these,
this is actually a thing that the industry is talking about.
Yeah,
like these are going to go out. Like all these blue plate special, early bird special, fucking places. They're gone. They're going to be done.
IHOP it's amazing. IHOP is still.
Well, IHOP will be sustained by niggers.
Well, that's
IHOP is so Olive Garden is safe.
Yeah, well, around here,
IHOP's where you go after you've gotten tanked at the bar.
No.
IHOP will be sustained by blacks and drunk people.
Yeah.
See, I wouldn't go.
I'm talking about like a Bob's Big Boy or Elias Big Boy or a Perkins type thing, like those type of places. Like Denny's might have a problem, but Denny's also blacks. Perkins is really the one. You don't see blacks in Perkins.
I have never been in a Perkins.
Never been in a Perkins. It's white boomer heaven, man.
You would
think this was an ethno state.
That's where Tiger Woods. That's where Tiger Woods picks up chicks. Right?
Oh, really? He's the only black that ever set foot in one.
Yeah.
You go to a Perkins, I swear to God, you would think this was an ethno state of fat white people.
It's like Cracker Barrel.
Cracker Barrel, also another place. That's another one that's going to be hit hard by the boomer death.
Yeah, that's strictly a boomer restaurant. I've never. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the bottom line is they've got shitty, mediocre tastes. Boomers have garbage taste.
Mm-hmm.
But they're willing to spend a lot of money on it. That's the other funny.
Yeah, that's expensive too. That's
not that Perkins is that expensive. You can actually get good deals in some of these restaurants.
This bar I was at, man, they were charging like $15 to bring you a really bad mixed drink served in a disposable plastic cup.
Yeah, and
I'm looking around all these boomers. And I'm like, you guys are actually like you think this is a cool thing to do to come to like this place willingly? I'm only here because I was basically dragged here.
That's pretty funny.
I'm amazed that someone got you to do something. Other than go on your bike. Other than go bicycling or walking in
like
the woods.
I like the place where we got ribs, where they're having that fucking dance party with the DJ that they sat us right behind. Remember that? We told the story on the show. I was like,
yes.
God, why am I here? This is awful. Like, who likes this?
But the thing is, we had dragged ourselves there.
Well, yeah. Well, I wanted some barbecue meats.
We had nowhere to drag. We also didn't have an option to drag ourselves somewhere else. So what do we do? And also, there's also the aspect of I enjoy being pissed off, so... So there's that.
Well, I'm not even looking at it at that angle. I'm just looking at it from like...
But that was like, fun. Like, getting that mad was
fun.
Yeah,
but I'm just looking at like, who are these people and why are they having fun right now?
Yeah,
like,
that was fun. That actually became the thing. We were all just like, what the
Why do they like this? Why are they like this?
Why are these skanky boomer old ladies dancing with young blacks?
It's like, early 90s freestyle.
Dancing. It's like... Dry heave set to music or something.
Dude, it was, yeah, it wasn't really dancing, but it was like 90s, like
early 90s like freestyle R&B and rap
and rap, like that, the mixture, like the fucking everybody dance now, whatever
everybody
that song was.
Dance
yeah you do
now.
Right, man, so it was like Belle Biv DeVoe and like all these type of groups, right? All they weren't, it wasn't
that girl
rap
is poison,
yeah, like Boys to Men and shit like that. So they're it's like fucking, it's like boomer women and like black young, these young blacks, and they're like
not
dancing
young blacks shit. like blacks that are like my age.
There was some young ones.
They're like 40,
but there was
they
like
40
year old
shit.
Blacks too.
They're like, yeah, I remember this.
God damn! And you got like to think too that the previous generation would have never ever even contemplated doing something like that.
No, they would never have gone on the dance floor with black people. That would not have happened at all. Like, no,
that fat weirdo
like,
DJ.
They'd be like, look at these idiots. Look at these. Well, I hate this music. What is this? What is this? What is this? Clippity clop music.
Clippity clop.
Look at all these jerks dancing to it. Like
jerks.
Yeah.
At least while they're dancing, they're not stealing my car. That's all I know.
Yeah, they'd be like, is the car locked? Yeah. No, they wouldn't even. They would just leave. Actually, in that generation, if you went someplace and there was blacks there, they would just leave.
Just leave.
It's like, they would like, even sit like down a, to watch.
There's a black party here. Like we're out of here.
Yeah. I mean, they wouldn't even stay long enough to get enraged. It's like, oh, there's blacks here. All right, where are we going? Let's go somewhere else.
Yeah, me. I'm like, ooh, here's an opportunity to not tip.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Oh man.
I never did write that big. I never did write the Yelp effort post I was going to leave for them. Maybe I'll get on that.
Dude. Restaurants hate Yelp so much because of this phenomenon. Because you literally only say anything if you're pissed.
But
and, like, restaurants have actually known this for a while about reviews. Yeah. Like, you have to be wary of them because, like, people do not leave a review if they had a good experience. It's only when you're fucking mad. It's like, later. You're like the 4chan later guy.
Yeah,
like, so fucking mad.
I was so mad. I was really mad about that day.
There's like a lot of restaurants that just want to be off Yelp, and they're just like,
oh yeah,
just
no
get
one
the
wants to be on Yelp.
Yeah, no restaurant wants to be on Yelp.
Restaurant.
There's also Yelp has a lot of pending legal issues with this because like their platform is so easily manipulated.
Oh yeah, you can just get on there and you can do anything.
Well, I mean, they try to like cut down on that, but it's also like it's almost like what's it even worth at this point? Like, what is it? What is that site even worth? I think the usage of that site has gone down because people realize it's like basically worthless.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a. I know a business owner.
The food
owner.
Is
I
never
know,
even all that bad.
I know a business owner who got a bad Yelp review, and he was engaged in. I don't know if he was paying somebody to like combat it by leaving good reviews.
Well, that's the other
like,
thing.
Yeah,
if you see a good review, you're like, yeah, they probably paid
somebody. Yeah,
because there's services that do that.
Yeah, but like it doesn't make the bad one go away.
No,
and the bad one was like legit. Like,
if it's a legit
it's
bad
like,
review,
it's like
you can't do
up.
Anything.
Yeah,
you like, can't do anything.
It's like you fucked up for this guy, and he got mad enough to write a thing, and so now there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, you can't do anything about that.
They should make like a Yelp page for us. I want all the complaints. It'd be pretty funny.
That would be funny. But I think it's only restaurants.
Restaurants. All right. All right. Well, let's take a break. I don't know if they're gonna have a bit. I don't think Trent made the suicidal for me. He said he was too tired to yell. I told him, well, you know, you don't have to yell.
Yeah, people are getting tired of the yelling. So.
I don't know. I'm seeing both reacts.
Yeah,
I love
some
the yelling.
Love it,
I love high energy. Caps lock Trent Holmgren. And other people are like, "Red, we get it."
They're just like, doing that to give him perk.
You know what was fucking disappointing?
Yelling.
What's that?
When I did the show with Kevin McDonald and I put suicidal in the middle of it, like the first like 10 comments were like, suicidal is really irritating because he's yelling so much. And I was like, wow, no comment on like the 2.5 hour intellectual discussion here.
Well, you just answered your own question. You only leave a review when you're mad.
True.
So obviously that means they liked the Kevin McDonald, but they didn't like that.
Everybody. Yeah, that was that's the answer. They enjoyed the rest of the show. And the only so
I enjoyed the entire show. I enjoyed Suicide.
I enjoyed
and
the
I
Trent
enjoyed
yelling.
The,
and
I enjoyed
it would have been
Dr.
actually I, in retrospect. I should have made Kevin sit through that.
Oh, you did it?
No, I didn't. I should have.
She just saved it for Monday. Just do a no bit.
It would have
like
been.
We're gonna do it. We're gonna do a no bit show.
It would have
right
been
now.
Hilarious to watch Kevin McDonald reacts. That would be a funny bit, actually.
Kevin McDonald
reacts to like shit posting. It's like, what the fuck? It's like, this wasn't what I had in mind when I wrote my book.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll I don't know do more stuff. We got the Persian Gulf of Tonkin. When we come back,
Gulf of Oman.
That's what I'm calling.
Oh man.
All right, that's funnier than the Persian Gulf of Tonkin. I'm sorry. I tried. I tried with the pun turrets. It didn't work out. We'll be right back.
You're listening to TDS on the Right Stuff.
Doc Biz.
Welcome back from the piss break. Piss earth break.
Yes.
Because there is no bit.
There is no break. There is no there break. Is no piss earth.
You must first realize the truth that there is no break. As far as you're concerned, there is no break. The show just kept going, unless you watched on video in which you had to stop the one video and you had to scroll down to the other one, implying that it's done processing yet and you can watch it. But we're back on Tedious 455. We got some, where's the drop I love so much?
Fucking white mail.
I always say that, like, the rules are we're not going to do a fucking white mail on the paywall show, but then what inevitably happens is I just never end up, like, doing that fucking white mail because I forget come the following Monday. So we're just going to do this now. Daniel Kuhn and Pixie Carson.
Kuhn?
Sent me a very... What is your... Oh, that's... I have a window open that's covering you. That's why, like, there's a white thing in the way.
Mm.
I'm sorry about that.
A big white thing in the way.
Yeah. Daniel Kuhn and Pixie Carson sent me a very thoughtful gift in the P.O. Box. They sent a Samson 7-inch 45 RPM single from, like, 1981. So that's pre-Iron Maiden Bruce Dickinson. That's what we want to see. Thank you guys so much.
Nice.
They also included this... Samson patch, which is being keyed out by the chroma key, but that's okay.
It's still
fucking sweet. Samson.
Where are you gonna put that?
I'm probably gonna thumbtack it to that panel behind the green screen where all that other cool stuff is hanging.
Nice.
Nice. Someone sent us some logos, which is good. This is Monsters from the Id by E. Michael Jones. Should be like Monsters from the Yid, then maybe I'd read it. Are you alright? You gotta stop. You with the fucking coffee
but
over
here. It's basically the same thing. Read the subtitle.
The Rise of Horror in Fiction and Film. Now, does he
it's
mean
definitely
like,
Monsters from the Yid.
Does he mean like horror films, or just mean like the horror is like Jewish narratives and like revenge? He's talking about
he
Revenge
means
of the
all
Nerds.
Of it.
Oh, there's a note in here. I didn't see there's a note in here.
Wow. I don't even look at these.
Well, I saw the book. I was like, oh, great. Because usually when books come, like, there's nothing accompanying them in a bubble wrap, like it's they were just ordered. I hope you might get a chance to flip this book. The first 100 pages is a little slow, mostly about French Revolution and Mary Shelley. Towards the end, there's interesting movie reviews. You can jump around and get a sense of it. Yesterday, my sister told me I have white privilege. She told her she was defending child abuse by her love of homosexual perverts. It's sad to lose family.
Just say that. Just...
But it's impossible to hold this stuff in forever. He's exactly right. So, cool. He's interesting in the...
Yeah,
it's from Chuck Cagle. All right. I like Chuck Cagle. Thank you, Chuck. Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't notice your note in the first place. I just read it live on the air. Thank God you didn't dox yourself. Because, you know, I just turn my brain off and read eventually. Somebody sent us Army Times. War with Iran on the horizon? It may be uglier than you think, is the cover.
Huh.
So.
Okay.
Oh, you're
Paris,
just, okay.
Frankenstein, Desire, Electricity. The monster travels from France to England. Berlin, Dracula, Sin, Blood, the monster travels from England to Germany. Hollywood, Alien, Death, Abortion, the monster travels from Germany to America. Three misreadings of horror. All right, I mean...
We got it.
This is basically, what's the monster?
We got a lot of 3x5 cards. A lot of 3x5 cards from our friend. Thank you for these.
Lots of recipes.
Obama pride retweet, incredibly cringe, but more than that, proves how malicious he is. A normal black wouldn't bother to do that.
Wait, what?
Talking about Obama must have retweeted something cringe about Pride Month.
Of course he did, dude.
Because he's a cringe.
Yeah, obviously
faggot.
A normal black wouldn't do that. I mean, Obama is not a normal black.
Oh, he says, you guys are really in an excellent place right now. There's so much material. Every day there's something. Keep going with the bits. Sven's songs, The Merchant Minute, Suicidal, and Rock. It's great skits. And Mike's analysis.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, I forgot to start the show by urging everyone to join the NSM. The Not So Much Movement.
Okay.
I'm your leader. It's the only real organization you can join in the movement anymore is the Not So Much Movement, the NSM. I forgot to do that bit. That sucks. Speaking of bits. We never did these. Gingerzilla sent these amazing comics.
Oh, we forgot. We forgot about those for a long time. These are some amazing original prints. I don't know if they're original, but they're prints, and they were somewhere originated. But
you probably haven't heard of me doing alt-right cartoons, as my free time has permitted since I watched Charlottesville happen via various streams. I sent you the ones that have gotten me banned on Twitter.
So let's see if we can get these in focus.
Gingerzilla.
These are good.
Let me see if I can do that.
Are these? I can't tell from here. If they're
no, but he sent us some really cool prints. Oh, my God. This is
one.
Oh, my God.
So you got to do the impression.
Hi, it's Bench Perro here, and this is my foam finger. My little... Jewish poet. What is he saying here?
Identity politics is stupid and racist, okay, gang? BTFO with facts and logic. Identity politics don't care about
your... Is he standing on top of a Talmud? Like, what is going
on
here?
Oh, he is! He's standing on top of two volumes of Talmud. You're exactly right.
It's a great drawing.
So here we have... Here we have culture being upstream from politics and race being upstream from culture. I don't know why... I mean, I know why this would get you banned, but it's like, it doesn't really say anything terrible in it.
We also have to thank what? We got some generous gifts from DBP and Daniel. Thank you, guys. We appreciate it.
So I'm just going to show all of these. People can pause if you can see that one. I hope it doesn't.
You probably can't see that.
I don't know if you can see it.
We have to find some other way to share it. But, I mean, these are just for us. We don't have to share these with the audience. Whoops.
Well, some of these, I've like that Ben Shapiro with the foam finger is a famous one.
These are nice prints, too. I got to hang these up. What is that? Night of the Living what?
Goy.
Goy.
And see the
and it's a fisting goy because it's this fist is coming goy, out, fist is coming out,
coming
of, the
out
ground.
Of the grave and
perfect.
Yes. Here lies white consciousness.
Ouch!
These are good. These are great. So it's, yeah, thanks.
These are really great, Gingerzilla. Thank you.
These are fantastic.
Awesome.
Everybody's cool. Thank you, everybody. You can mail us stuff at PO Box 1069, Hopewell Junction, New York 12533. You can also use that to sign up for subs, but if you're listening to this, you're already subbed, so it's kind of like moot for
me. Yeah, I feel kind of bad that we neglected these for so long, because I remember we got them, then you went away.
Yeah, and I put this envelope aside, and I kept, like, doing stuff, like, what the fuck is this envelope that's in my way all the time? And I was like, oh, shit, those are those drawings.
Those are really nice. Yeah. Those are really nice prints, too. Yeah, we should frame some.
Yeah.
Put them up. Put them around the apartment.
Yeah, that's a good
I'll put them in my little basement hovel here that I live in on the couch.
Yeah, just where you live in my recording studio.
Yes, just on the couch over there.
You just take naps while I like sing, play guitar loudly, and program drums.
Oh, and smoke cigars.
Smoke cigars and spend 4 hours automating the mix on a song and end up hating it at the end of the day like I did yesterday.
Yeah. Sucks not having any autonomy.
My like half-size fridge that's over there. It's not a mini fridge. It's just kind of a small fridge.
Mm.
It's always filled with beer.
Beer and frozen lasagna.
Oh, man.
I'm starving.
Well, I don't want the lasagna frozen. I like to heat it up, but no, I am starving.
Heat it, so I heat it up in the microwave.
So, crisis initiation?
Yes.
Is that
Let
we're going to go
do
first?
Crisis yes,
I'm
initiation.
I'm going to shoehorn the joke one more time.
What I can't believe.
Persian Gulf of Tonkin incident?
Yes. And I can't believe that after
that.
Seeing
Gulf of Oman.
Oh, yeah. The Gulf of Oman.
Oman.
After seeing this video. I cannot believe that there would be a single person that could see this video and not understand that this is all fake and that they are doing this on purpose and that it's fake. The guy, well, you'll see the video. It's actually unbelievable.
Let's play it.
Unbelievable. So who is this again?
I frankly think that crisis initiation is really tough.
Yeah.
And it's very hard for me to see how the United States president can get us to war with Iran.
That's the goal.
Which leads me to conclude...
Man, it's really hard to like lie yourself into a destructive war that's like not for anybody's interest but your own.
Literally
it's
nobody
really
wants.
Difficult.
Yeah, so this
nobody,
is,
would, nobody would boomers want.
This is Patrick Clausen, who I guess is some defense... He's some fucking neocon consultant guy, butt goy they're putting out.
And it's
front.
A letterboxed video. I like
it
that.
Is
a letterbox,
it's
letterboxed
just,
than a letterbox.
It's letterboxed because it's just like shitty. If he blew it up to full size, the I don't even know when this was. The video was posted in 2015, but it doesn't matter. Like it's.
Oh, so he's already talking about Trump. He's talking about Obama.
It was sometime in the last recent period, post 9/11.
Let's keep
going
here.
But anyway.
He's lamenting how hard it is.
Yeah.
To get us into war with Iran.
That if in fact compromise is not coming, that the traditional way of America gets to war is what would be best for U.S. interests. Some people might think that Mr. Roosevelt wanted to get us into World War II, as David mentioned. You may recall we had to wait for Pearl Harbor. Some people might think Mr. Wilson wanted to get us into World War I. You may recall he had to wait for the Lusitania episode.
Wait.
Some people might think that Mr. Johnson wanted to send troops to Vietnam. You may recall he had to wait for the Gulf of Tonkin episode.
Yeah. Oh, man.
We didn't go to war with Spain until the USS, until the Maine exploded. And may I point out, that Mr. Lincoln did not feel he could call out.
We didn't go to war with Afghanistan until the World Trade Center exploded.
I mean, he doesn't
just
mention
a chronology
that. Chronology
like, of false flags.
He's going through all the false flags. Wait till this one. Wait till the next one. He's going all the way back.
We couldn't institute a nationwide fucking ID until.
He admits what libertarians have been saying forever.
Right.
That fucking Lincoln provoked the attack on Fort Sumter.
Oosh.
He like literally.
Let's do it.
I mean, it's true.
Fort Sumter was attacked, which is why he ordered the commander. Fort Sumter was attacked.
Wait.
Lincoln did not feel he could call out the Federal Army until Fort Sumter was attacked, which is why he ordered the commander at Fort Sumter to do exactly that thing which the South Carolinians had said would cause an attack. So if, in fact, the Iranians aren't going to compromise, it would be best if somebody else started the war. One can combine other means of pressure with sanctions. I mentioned that explosion on August 17th. We could step up the pressure.
Charlottesville?
Yeah, it gets better. This keeps getting better. So I got, we just go back a little bit because I don't want to miss any important stuff.
With sanctions. I mentioned that explosion on August 17th. We could step up the pressure. I mean, look, people, Iranian submarines periodically go down. Someday one of them might not come up. Who would know why? We can do a variety of things if we wish to increase the pressure. I'm not advocating that.
But I'm just sounds like a mob boss that, talking about putting somebody in concrete shoes.
This is not a either-or proposition.
He is.
You know, it's just sanctions has to succeed or other things. We are in the game of using covert means against the Iranians. But
you're talking about using covert operations against Americans. You're like, these are psyops.
Yeah, this is actually psyops against Americans.
You're not using covert. You want to use overt means against Iranians.
Well,
you need covert.
But basically, what he's saying is like we'll provoke them to respond, and then we'll use that response. We'll pretend like it's an. It's like basically he's saying, get the Iranians to start the war by fucking with them until they do something.
Fucking.
I mean, the thing is, like,
wow.
Does anybody remember the USS Vincennes incident? You probably don't.
I don't know that one.
USS Vincennes incident. I forgot
was
about
it,
that. The USS Vincennes was a false flag. Was a U.S. ship? I don't want to upset naval spurgs by saying what kind, because there's going to be a naval spurg that knows exactly the class of ship.
It's
that
a fucking boat.
It was a boat with missiles. It was a boat with missiles, and it shot down. No, wait. It shot down an Iranian civilian airliner and killed 290 people.
I remember this. Yeah.
And it was
it was basically just like everybody shut the fuck up. Shut up,
Iran. And it was at a point like it was during the Iran-Iraq war. And the funny thing is, there was this guy, you know, these people talk about how like, oh, we've destroyed the Iranian Navy before. I'm like, yeah, when we were using Iraq as a proxy, and that was also fucking in the 80s. And another thing that happened, we also destroyed an Iranian civilian airliner and killed 290 people, and it was such an international scandal and embarrassment that the United States just shut the fuck up about it. Only people that have looked into this history understand this. And the funny thing is that it gets included in books by people like Chalmers Johnson, like blowback, but there's never been blowback. There's no blowback from the Vincennes because the Iranians have not done terrorist attacks on America. They try to say that they do, but then what they really do is they use their proxies, the Sunni jihadists, to do the fucking terrorist attacks, who are also Iran's enemies, Iran's biggest enemies. And
yeah, I remember this now, because the context I remember hearing about this from was pointing out the hypocrisy of the way that the American media covers like hostage taking and situations like that. And we shut down an airliner. What?
Dude, it's a big surprise to Americans when they hear this. And they gave the commander of the ship, they gave him a medal.
Yeah, he got like.
And they gave him a medal
shit.
Because he had to sustain. Because it was a scandal briefly before they covered it all up. It did get reported. It was a scandal. And Americans were mad. They didn't like the fact that this happened. They thought it was terrible. And this commander who fucked up, you know, supposedly fucked up and did this, was given a medal. And it was because he had to sustain all these horrible attacks in the media. It's like, well, if you really fucked up and killed 290 civilians, you shouldn't get a medal because the media got mad at you. You should probably get a fucking court-martial. And you possibly go to prison. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? So yeah. Like, this guy, and this guy is basically, and I wouldn't be surprised, given what this guy is talking about, that wasn't an accident. That was something that they did to try and get the Iranians to do something. And look, I could see us doing that. We shoot down. Imagine if the Iranians shot down a U.S. civilian airliner. Killed 290 American citizens. Imagine what would happen, right? And so the double standard and the hypocrisy is absolutely insane. And the Iranian restraint, what's actually remarkable is how fucking restrained they are. And it's because of the balance of power, obviously. But the thing is this. They don't respond to us doing that. They didn't hit any U.S. military assets. They didn't. And some people were trying to say, oh, then they did terrorist attacks in response. And I'm like, there's not, we don't really have evidence of that, but maybe they did. Okay, wow, whoop-de-doo. I actually don't care. But imagine this, a world in which they had done a response. It was after we shot down their civilian airliner, they launched missiles and sank our boat or something like that, or just hit it, right? We just hit their fucking plane and killed 290 of their citizens. It would be completely justified for them to attack the ship that did that. Yeah. Completely justified.
It's sad that they have to show that kind of like restraint and not strike back because you know what the actual game is.
If they did do that, if they did hit our boat after we did that, the U.S. media would have treated it like they were doing a first strike.
Yes.
Not like they were retaliating for us killing a bunch of their people.
And if you knew about the other thing, you'd be a crazy person.
And yeah, you'd be a conspiracy theorist. Like, realize that this ship literally shot down a Muslim?
Secret Muslim Belarusian apologist?
Yeah.
What are you?
Yeah, I'm tired of this Belarusian revision.
Fuck, I keep saying Belarusian.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's fine.
I know.
It's fine.
It's okay. I'm sorry. I get mad at myself.
Look, if you don't think Lukashenko, which is this guy's name, is like the worst, if you're not really concerned about the tyranny of Lukashenko, then, you know, I don't know.
Isn't he the guy with the fucked up face because he got poisoned?
No, that was...
something else, Shenko?
No, that was the opposition to him was Timoshenko.
Timoshenko, okay.
And he was, I forget his fucking name. I can't remember. He was on the side of Timoshenko, who ended up taking over, and it was Yanukovych that did it. His name was Yushchenko. It was Lukashenko in Belarus. And the Ukraine, it was Yushchenko, who I think is dead now, and then Timoshenko, who is the oil, she's Jewish. She was the oil woman, the oil magnate that was president there, or whatever the fuck, for a while. So, they were against Yanukovych, who was the old Soviet guy.
If you read the actual account of the U.S. military's version of events, it would be impossible to trust them. Like,
nobody should ever trust the United States government ever.
Yeah.
No, it's like a sad thing, but when they have a policy of something that they want, they'll just lie and cheat to advance the ball towards it. Just lie to everyone. I mean, they actually showed on the Vice Shitty Stories. They did a really quick, like, meaningless bit on this where they showed Pompeo, you know, basically saying that Iran's doing everything Kennedy's in the war. I was like, oh, are they really now, Mr. Pompeo? Like, Iran.
Did they give any critical analysis of that? Or
not
they just
really. They
the
just
kind of
like, they kind of just like gloss over it. They don't really make a big deal
fucking
over it.
Fucking cowards.
Yeah, they're just not cowards. They're in on it. They're just fucking kikes.
Well, but to the extent they got any like idealistic leftists into their thing, like to work for them, like they are, those people are.
I don't know. I did not come away from that report with a feeling of like
that they were cowards.
Fighting the good fight.
No, they're not fighting any good fight.
I don't consider those to be leftists.
No.
Well, who cares they are? They're fucking shills. And the thing is, they do get the left has been totally fucking sucked. There's very few leftists that are willing to be anti-Zionist anymore. Almost none. Mm-hmm. And this is true. When real leftists and even some people on the right, they make the criticism, well, the left is totally sucked into their identity policies, which I will remind you are fake. Fake and gay identity politics, literally.
It's cultural leftism.
Yeah, it's purely cultural, and it's toxic, and it's right in line with libertarian economic views and capitalism. And this is a problem that they can't solve. This is a circle they can't square. How can you tell me that at the time of big capital, when big capital has the greatest power over the state, you know, the state is controlled by big capital more than ever now, and you people, your fucking identity bullshit, your fucking gay shit and your POC shit and your immigration, all this stuff is thriving the most. So what are you bitching about? It's like, again, this is the whole thing where they tack on capitalism, something they complain about, but they don't really complain about it. That's why they all do all this white people, are so terrible and stuff. And what are you really guarding against? Well, they're really there to guard against Nazism, and that's their number one mission. And because Zionism isn't Nazism, they just don't talk about it and they don't care about it. There's a time when the left
You can't. You can't tell me that you're operating off of some sort of leftist critique of capitalism when your primary motivation is to always attack first someone that's like vaguely nationalistic or right wing or a Nazi, something like that. Like, what do we call this, revealed preference? Like, your revealed preference is just be a fucking gatekeeper and a hall monitor. Like, yeah. Don't tell me that you're a principled leftist. Fuck off with that shit.
Because they never engage in critiques of capitalism. They will tack the word capitalism onto their critiques, but their critiques are all of white culture, white people, and white values. And then they tack on the word capitalism. And it doesn't fit, really. You know, but that also then after they say it, like after they just tack it on as something that's included, then they'll always get back to fascism and Nazism as the real bugaboos there. And that's what it is. And they're even so mad when they hear us start to say, you know, I'm not going to go commie or anything like that, but us have a critique of capitalism and us have an idea of capitalism needing to be reined in, needs to be controlled by the state and stuff. Well, this makes them mad when we say, no, you're on the right. You're supposed to be in favor of unfettered capitalism. You're supposed to take a really shitty and unattractive position that everyone's going to hate so that no one listens to all your other stuff. Just like we do that with all the tranny and gay shit. Like, we're taking attractive economic proposals and we're attaching them to faggot shit. You're supposed to take unattractive economic proposals or attractive immigration proposals and attach them to unpopular economic. That's how this fucking works. And the funny thing is, the one thing these leftists are actually good at is sensing when that happens. So when they see right wingers be anti-war, when they see other leftists that see right wingers that are anti-war and are like, well, they've got a point. Like, no, that's when the outraged mob hits their own people and they sacrifice them. And therefore, all the principled people get weeded out, like, by this process, by this outraged mob process. So you're adjacent to fascists. That's why they can't be anti-war anymore. We have taken that over. The anti-war left is dead. And to the extent there's leftists that have these feelings, they can't say it because if you go against Zionism in their circles, you're going to fucking hear about it because they're going to call you a fascist. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's weird. Fascists. It's like they managed to just weed out any kind of principled leftist who might have an objection to whatever their current scheme is.
Any kind of principled commentary at all. I mean, these people are in a total fucking bubble. It's unbelievable. They have no. The funniest thing is when you look at this sort of Brooklyn left, you know, these people that are on the current left today, that the ones that are making the memes and talking about this stuff, like the Chapo left and such. They're in a total fucking bubble. They have, like, they talk about us not being, like, we have much more of an effect on policy and discourse than these people. These people have no effect. They're literally just in a bubble.
Yeah,
and the only people, like, we pay attention to them because it's funny. But, like, other than that, it's like, anyway, I don't know how much more we can go
into. No, like monks in a monastery somewhere have more engagement with the real world than these people.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's true. But yeah, it is amazing the total collapse of any actual critique of capitalism and any actual critique. I mean, these people become amplifiers for Zionist stuff because they always make sure to put in critiques of these regimes that, like, we don't care about. Our thing is we're happy for Iran to have a religious fucking theological dictatorship. I don't give a fuck. Why would I care? That's what they want. Obviously, they want it. It's very popular. It is. That's the thing. The state is popular over there. There's dissidents, yeah, of course, but what the fuck do I care?
When you have a religious theocracy in power in a nation, it's hard to, like, sell them dragon dildos and porn
very
and all this other stuff.
You know, there's always going to be some people that want that
stuff. Yeah, there's going to be some, but it's hard to, like, make that, like, it's hard to take those things and make them, like, acceptable, like, moral things that you can just, that's just another lifestyle choice. It's like, no, into the
oven it goes.
Yeah.
And,
into the fucking political prisoner dungeon that they have that Jimmy Carter, whatever.
Anyway, did you have something? It seemed like you had something you were waiting on.
So. Well, we just have the coverage of this oil tanker thing.
Yes, really.
Yeah, let's get back to the Gulf of Oman.
Yeah. So I guess on Friday, Pompeo, like, we released a video, talk about deep fakes. A video that's supposed to show, like, Iranian, like, whatever forces, like, helping remove unexploded mines from this oil tanker.
Yeah, because that's what you do whenever you attack a tanker and you fail to destroy it.
Right,
you go and
so
you remove them.
Are they claiming that video is fake, or did the Iranians actually do that?
Well, what's being
they're claiming
report,
it's evidence of something.
We're claiming it's evidence that they mined this ship, and everyone else is reporting that the damage to the ship is inconsistent with a mine attack or a torpedo attack underwater. Guys on the ship.
A link. There's a link.
I know.
Right there.
I read.
We have the link in front of us.
I read it. I'm paraphrasing. Guys are reporting that, like, they saw flying objects coming at the vessel that could have been. We're saying that, oh, those could have been bullets or something. Just like,
you don't
asinine.
Really see bullets.
So like so they were hit by. It seems like they were hit by some kind of small.
Yeah.
Maybe a drone.
Maybe they saw a drone. Maybe it was shells. Maybe I don't fucking know. Some kind of artillery or
swarm of small, Amazon drones.
Some sort of small missile. Yeah, they were just trying to get them their. Whatever. Like this is a Japanese vessel, and if I'm not mistaken, what the hell's his name?
Shinzo Abe. What you do when you have the prime minister of a foreign nation?
He's visiting Iran right now
for a peace conference.
You attack their oil tankers.
You go ahead and attack that nation's ships while it's happening.
Weird.
And the thing is, this actually see when you do the what is it, the cui bono or cui bono, how do you say that, cui bono?
I think it's chewy bono.
Chewy bono.
You're like a Wookiee.
Jweef bono. Yeah.
Chewy bono.
Chewy bono. Or whatever. Chewy, you know what I'm saying. When you do that, queef, who benefits? Boner. When you ask who benefits?
Not queef boner. No.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus.
Jamie.
Don't write that down.
Don't write that down.
Don't write that down, Jamie. Please. Just let's not.
But when you do the who benefits analysis, whose agenda does this line up with? So we have Japan, which is a well-respected country around the world, going to Iran to try and calm tensions over this stuff. Literally, they were going to try and settle down tensions because they're a known ally of the U.S. Mm-hmm. Trump always talks about how much he loves them.
I just want to buy oil.
Yeah, and of course, it'd be hard-pressed to pin Japan down as like a bad actor on the international stage, right?
This is low-effort false flag.
Well, yeah. I'm just trying to lay
two
it all
of ten.
Out.
Okay, it's because like you don't. I don't know.
But why? No. But just listen. Okay. So he goes to try and calm tensions. Now the U.S. does not want tensions calm, but the Japanese prime minister might be able to do it. Right. So what do? You try to sabotage the peace conference with the Iranians and the Japanese. Not that they were at war, but literally as a U.S. ally, he's going there to try and calm tensions. Generally speaking, and he's got a little bit of clout to do it. Just like Steve, you know, from The Scoop. He's got clout. He's got online clout. Uh-huh. So he goes there, and he's trying to calm the tensions. Okay, so what do? You do a false flag attack on a Japanese ship. Of course. Why wouldn't you? The only person that benefits is the U.S. And, you know, of course, really, the Jews. The only people that benefit are the Jews. The Jews want the tensions raised. And so when the Japanese prime minister is threatening to lower tensions, well, we'll do a little fake attack on a Japanese boat. And of course what they do, because they've been seeding the meme into boomer brains for all these years that the Iranians are crazy and do crazy shit they do absolutely irrational shit that no sensible government would ever do, and the Iranians are totally prone to this, right? This is what they do. That's the thing. They've painted them, and because of the mullahs, you know, Sean Hannity and the mullahs are insane. They're insane. They'll do anything. Of course they'll attack. Of course if Japan comes over for a peace conference and they attack their boat. Their mullahs are just crazy. That's not something you can sell to normal people, right? You have to be a complete fucking moron to think that. So, look, a regime, and the funny thing, I remember saying this, even leftists used to say this. This is one of the reasons I was more attracted to them back in the day. It's because they would say, no, the Iranian regime, sure, they're a religious theocracy, but they're not irrational. They don't go out and just, you know, because that's what they would have. That's what conservatives would have you believe, right? Yeah. Not really the Jews that run the conservative movement would have you believe. So it's just bullshit. The Japanese know that this is bullshit, and they've been counter-signaling it. And mm-hmm. So this is just a really low effort. Yeah, it's a low effort crisis initiation. Anyway, that's my bit.
I mean, we fired upon them as what happened. I followed the link to say that we
got hit with something.
That we say we released a video of Iranian Republican Guard vessel removing an unexploded mine from this tanker. I'm like, I want to see that video. Like, but I instead I'm just watching some shit.
Just watching a video of the thing on fire. Now I wouldn't be surprised if Iran sent boats to render assistance.
That's probably what happened.
That's obviously what happened.
Yeah. It's like why are they removing an unexploded mine? Like the accusation is the mine exploded. I mean, what the hell? Like, the accusation is this boat is a floating spiral ham, and here's the M80.
The good thing about this, though, is, like, literally nobody buys it. Like, Pompeo doesn't buy it. Like, nobody believes it.
He gave his little, gay little speech with, he looks very, very serious, very, you know.
Here's an idea. We're going to do false flags. Spread them out a little bit, because we've had too many false flags the last 20 years.
They're saying the Iranian... This is the kind of very deeply serious press conference they do when they're trying to start a fucking war.
This is a deep fake.
This is a deep fake. Deep fake flag.
I wish I hadn't.
See, here we go.
There's Shinzo.
It's like... Yeah. The Japanese know what's going on, too. Like, they're not stupid either. Oh, their question is,
hey, there's the good guys. Hey, here we go.
Oh, boy, here we come. Here come the good guys.
Here come the good guys to save the world.
Yeah.
God damn, we're still flying these B-52s.
It's like, hey, we just got these sanctions lifted. Let's bomb some oil tankers that are here to do business
with
us.
Dude, the funny thing is the number of people that believe that the U.S. is, like, the good guys on the world stage is, like, an ever-dwindling number of boomers. Like, nobody outside the U.S. believes it. No one in Europe believes it. Nobody in Japan believes it. No one in Korea believes it. Nobody in China believes it. No one in Russia believes it.
Well, CBS News,
Africa, they don't know what the fuck is going on.
I came to this link to see the video of the Iranian vessel
removing these unexploded mines.
I want to
see
that.
Not clear if crew is being rescued or is being detained. Are you fucking kidding
me? They're just, like, dropping. It's like, this propaganda is... Dude, see, the thing is, there's not... Perkins isn't the only thing that's going to collapse with the boomer death. Their ability to do this kind of bullshit propaganda is also going to collapse. Because it's just like, I see everything you're doing. Oh, we don't know if they're being detained or not. Yeah, where did being detained come from?
There's explosion on your vessel? You're under arrest. Come with us.
Where did that...
They're just
seeding that bullshit.
Who the hell's this guy?
I don't know.
Blamed for attacks. Oh, all right. Is this going to be the video with the evidence removed from Tanka?
No.
Totally not a mine,
yes.
Tanker.
Totally not a sea mine, Tanker.
Tanker, not Tucker. Tanker.
Tanker. Yes. Yes. Tanker. Look, Tanker.
Oh, okay. Oh, look at this. Great. You got some grainy video here. Wow, they zoomed out, so I can't see it now. They're removing an unexploded mine from the vessel. That's what this is supposed to be.
That looks really dangerous. Those Iranians could have been hurt.
Is that the same fucking vessel?
I don't know. I'm just saying,
wasn't the vessel on fire?
But so what does this prove exactly?
I'm sorry. That video is... I have no reason to believe this video is real at all. That this is what they
say. Yeah, why do the shells keep disappearing? Come on, that's a good bit. That's a throwback. The shells keep disappearing. How come you can't see the hole in the windshield?
I mean, is that the same fucking boat? I don't see even fire. I don't see.
But when they panned out to the boat, you can't even see it anymore.
But you can't. It's not on fire.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see a hole. I don't see any damage.
But I don't even see it on the other side. Like, I'm not seeing smoke and coming up in flames coming from the other side of the boat. If they're on the other side that wasn't blown up, this is bullshit. This is some bullshit.
The Japanese are really being a major inconvenience for this narrative.
Whenever I Google
search this, there's like tons of articles about them disputing the account.
Am I supposed to believe that guy just pulled a mine out of the water and just put it on that little tiny dinghy?
Yeah, but I can't actually
that.
Tell
I can't
what the
see
fuck
what
is
it is. There's some black and white stuff going on there. I have no idea what that guy's doing. Should I listen to David Martin? I don't want to unmute the tab. I don't even know how to unmute the tab without going back in.
Who gives a fuck?
I don't know. It's just...
I mean, imagine being dumb enough to buy this.
The level of expertise needed to execute the operation.
One reason Secretary of State Pompeo laid the blame squarely on Iran is this video. The U.S. says it shows an Iranian patrol boat coming alongside and removing an unexploded mine from one of the tanker's hulls, making off with the evidence, in other words.
Dude, it looks like they're pulling a person out of the water.
Well, making off with the evidence, I mean, you're taking a mine off the hull. Because you don't want to have a fucking mine attached to a hull of a ship that could then be detonated and
assuming that that's
ship,
what,
right?
even what was
the,
happening.
The damage is above the waterline. There's no mine.
I don't even know. I'm not even going to analyze that because I'm not an expert in that, so I can't comment. But, you know, I believe that we do have
mines are
friends
underwater.
Yeah, they are.
They blow it from below.
Yes.
They don't make a hole in the side of your vessel above the waterline.
I mean, if you're 100% on that,
that's
then I'm with
you. That's what the Japanese guy is alleging, too.
Okay, let's hear what the Japanese guy says. I want to hear what the Japanese are saying.
Can we get a dub version?
No, you know what the Japanese are doing? They're going... It's like an anime, right? Where the character's like... that's all they were doing. Like a sweat, a bead of sweat just from the brow.
American pig dog. Fox flag. Anything else worth listening to here?
No, I want it.
One tanker. I want to know the Japanese. It was in danger of sinking, and the other in danger of drifting into Iranian waters.
See that? That's not. Wow, nice quick fucking shot of the hole in the side.
Sinking. And the other in danger of drifting.
Yeah, that wouldn't have
that's
happened
not,
from
that
an underwater
mine. Doesn't
mine.
Do well, that. Nah, a no torpedo way. Doesn't do that.
They both hit underwater.
Death from above does that.
Wait, well, that's something that hit from.
Something up above the waterline came. Something
that,
from the sky.
Honestly,
death from the sky.
I'm
know what
my
that
money
is right
is
there?
On a, my
God,
money
fuck
is
it.
On
you got hit by some freedom fries right there.
Yeah.
That's what that is. That's some freedom fries.
It was
fries.
A missile.
So freedom fry hit the side of that.
My mission. Money is on a drone.
Yeah. Why would we attack the Japanese?
To be complete, why would we attack the Japanese? You mean America?
Iranian waters. CBS News consultant, retired Admiral Sandy Winnefeld, explained how an attack like this could be pulled off.
Oh,
this
God.
Oh, this guy seems... This guy seems credible.
I want to hear how this could work.
A skilled attack probably conducted by a small boat coming alongside the ship, attaching a limpet mine or two or three to the ship, and then making its escape in time.
Maybe I'm wrong
avoid
then.
The explosion.
Yeah, but you just wouldn't notice a small ship going alongside you.
Attaching it to the side of the boat.
Before the attack...
These aren't depth...
The Kokuga... Kokuga Courageous. That's the name of the ship.
Oh... So what are they saying?
Very courageous.
The crew saw flying objects, suggesting mines were not the cause. Regardless of how the attack occurred...
No, we're just going to brush over that.
Yeah, regardless.
Yeah, let's not worry about
fucking
that.
Japanese conspiracy theorists.
These people can't see anyway. These slant eyes can't
but
see
just,
shit.
You have to hammer home, like, regardless of what actually
happened.
All of
a sudden, happens, racism is
those uncoli pig dogs in Iran, they did this.
Yeah. Racism is acceptable. Like, you can't believe what the Japanese... These people can't see anyway.
Yeah. Listen, we're going with Iran did it because this is what you do when you want to sell oil. You blow up your customers.
We don't need to listen to these fucking nips. All right, they can't drive. Surprised they can even steer a boat.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no one's asking that question. Like, what if the guy just bumped into something? It's like the fucking guy driving the boat Asian, can't see.
Asian sea captains are just as bad as Asian drivers. They just. He just ran into something. He's backing up.
I didn't look.
Didn't see what was behind him.
Because he can't
see. No, but for real, what are they saying? Other than, we saw flying objects. What? Because the Japanese government said something. Or the captain of the ship was like, no, this is bullshit. This didn't happen. Because they would. Look,
let me get this back.
Regardless of where they saw flying objects, you would see a small boat pull up alongside you. Even with Japanese slant eyes, you would see a small boat pull up alongside your boat, attach something, go off, and then an explosion happens. You would have seen that. Crew members would have seen that.
You might not see a Navy SEAL team do that.
Well, they'd pop up underwater. They'd have a frogman come up and like, ding, and then go back down and swim away.
Might not see that, maybe.
Yeah.
Mm. What are they saying? Company president Yutaka Katara said Friday he believes the flying objects seen by the sailors could have been bullets. He denied any possibility of mines or torpedoes because of damage above the ship's waterline.
Mm.
He recalls reports... of a mine attack of false. False and dishonorable.
This all
Katara
false.
Said the crew members spotted Iranian naval ship off nearby, but he didn't specify whether it was before or after the attacks.
But they're not saying a naval ship. They're saying a small boat.
No, that's biased journalism.
No, Iranian naval
right
ship. That's what they have. Oh, they're saying
trying to plant that seed in your
but
in your
the,
mind.
Yeah, this is how shitty journalism works.
Yeah, I got
an Iranian naval ship wouldn't have carried out a ship
just a floating belly
flying
button.
The Iranian flag. Would not have carried out this attack. It would have been an unmarked, small boat. And then, this...
The U.S. Navy rushed to assist the stricken vessel in the Gulf of Oman.
They happened to be in the area, totally prepped and ready for this to happen. They just happened to...
The operators, the Norwegian... What's the MT front Altair offered no immediate explanation.
The MT front hull? What?
Yeah, the front hull... The MT front hull... offered no immediate explanation of what happened to their vessel. So wait, what's this Norwegian boat all about? I didn't hear anything about that. I just heard about our based fucking.
Hey, maybe they were.
Oh, I don't hear about based
boats going in and out of the area all the time.
Then
with
we got
oil,
hit
I'll
by something.
A Revolutionary Guard patrol boat pulled alongside the ship and removed the mine. Central Command spokesman Captain Bill Urban said, "Okay, Bill Urbanite, thanks, Bill."
Crush
the Bill Urbanite who's lying about mines.
Yeah.
The U.S. and international community stand ready to defend our interests, including the freedom of navigation. Urban
Get the
said.
Fuck out of here.
The United States has no interest in engaging in a new conflict in the Middle East. Oh, no. However,
yeah,
we will defend,
I don't believe
we will defend our interests.
I don't believe it. Yeah, again, wow. Crisis initiation. It has to be framed in terms of U.S. interests.
Mm. What did
Hassan Rouhani say?
Rouhani.
That's the new president.
The U.S. economic war and terrorism against the Iranian people, as well as its massive military presence in the region, have been and continue to be the main source of insecurity and instability in the wider Persian Gulf region.
He's not
wrong at all. And that's why they're there.
Yeah.
And the most significant threat to its peace and security.
Not wrong.
So, dawn on Thursday, 25 miles off the southern coast of Iran. The front Altair, loaded with flammable hydrocarbon, the empty front hull, loaded with the flammable hydrocarbon mixture. Naphtha?
Naphtha. Oh, that's some shit that goes up.
Yeah, it's loaded with promethium.
Yeah, fucking naphtha. Fucking turpentine.
Well, all I know is that shit goes up like a fucking tinderbox. Anyway, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just... My professional fast. I'm like, oh yeah, naphtha. Real fucking threat to your health there.
Man, my heart really goes out to those Navy SEALs. It sounds like a really dangerous mission, attacking those ships like that, such close ranges.
Flammable hydrocarbon mixture. Now, why would they say it's fucking turpentine?
Because they
want
to make it sound as dangerous.
I know.
As
it's just like it's fucking dark. Just get out of here.
Dude, this is Jewish journalism.
It's like it's a bump for a bunch of like fucking hippies. They're gonna do little oil paintings. No one cares about. For cleaning your fucking brushes out. Fucking some old cat lady with it. Oh, God, the naphtha boat didn't make it back from the fucking Gulf of Oman. How am I gonna fucking paint my abstract splatter vagina fucking leakings if I don't get my naphtha? God knows these people can't fucking afford the shit as it is. Christ. No, God, turpentine, $25 a gallon? Oh, my God, is there anything else that works? No, lady. You're gonna make your stupid fucking abstract fucking modern art. Pay the $25 and get the fuck out of here. Don't come back and say that it's not the right kind.
Already got it.
Fucking artists.
That's the people that come in to buy turpentine from you.
Every now and then you get every now and then you get an artist. It's like, sorry, this is not a fag paint place.
You can buy the naphtha, but get the fuck out.
Yeah, it's not the hippie naphtha.
Oh God,
that you
want. Capitalist incentive. You have to serve every customer.
No, you don't.
You can just like everywhere. You always show you're always showing contempt.
No,
I don't have any fucking hippie naphtha. Yeah. I only have the real kind.
Yeah, this is the kind that works, not the fucking fake and gay green environmental friendly kind. Okay,
no,
this is the one that works. There's the environmental friendly kind, and then the kind that works.
I don't have the kind that the art store sells. It's expensive because it's the art store. Go to the art store if you want that one. But that's what's on the boat. The art store. The art store naphtha.
The front art store, not the front Alaire.
Oh, wait, am I getting confused? Is naphtha the benzene? Maybe benzene.
I don't fucking know, dude.
Is turpentine naphtha? Or is
I don't think that
naphtha?
They're lying. That would be hilarious if you were just wrong.
I might be confusing my
I mean, I think it is a flammable hydrocarbon mix, though. I mean,
it is, but it's like there's no reason.
Dude, this is not important.
What? It's important if I just got.
See,
like,
I just don't know what the actual chemical name for turpentine is. So I was just going along.
If I got my mineral spirits mixed up, I'm going to be very upset. All right. I want to make sure I have my mineral spirits correct. You got your paint thinner, you got your naphtha, you got your benzene, you got your turpentine, you got your lacquer thinner, and probably all kinds of. You've got all kinds of like crazy epoxy thinners. You don't even want to like think about those. Those are just.
Jesus. This U.S. media really is just a top down propaganda network, isn't it?
Can you believe he's like derailing?
Petroleum benzene boiling range 100, 140 Celsius. 100, 120
yeah,
degrees.
Right. Yeah, naphtha is benzene. Same thing. I'm sorry.
Yeah, naphtha benzene. So
not turpentine. Right. My fault. But at least I yelled about artists with their turpentine. Gum turps.
All right. Well, that's
gum
cool.
Spirits of
now,
turpentine.
What have the Japanese said? I'm still waiting.
Oh, no, we're talking about Rouhani. Not Romani.
Rouhani? Rouhani? Hassan Rouhani?
Yeah, yeah. The U.S. Economic Warrant. Oh, we already did that. Never mind. We did that. The U.S. Navy sent a destroyer, the USS Bainbridge, to assist. He described the ships being hit in a reported attack.
Wait, they sent Bain Capital to assist?
Yes.
USS Bain Capital.
Creative destruction of the side of that oil tank.
You know, the USS Bainbridge just conveniently happened to be
it's
in the area.
It's happening right there.
It was just
ready to go.
It was an amazing coincidence. It was strange how that always happens.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's kind of funny,
but you had to
right?
be a conspiracy theorist to think there was any...
Now, here's the other one. The attacks resembled one in May targeting four oil tankers off the nearby Emirati port of... Fujaira?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
U.S. officials similarly accused Iran of targeting ships with the... See, this was the... Because when I Googled this before, when I Googled Breitbart Iran tanker attack or something, a story came up from May 14th.
I remember that one.
That's the one that didn't work. They didn't have any pictures.
Yeah.
They didn't have any videos.
That was the issue. They didn't have... Like, where are all these pictures coming from? That's the other thing. Maybe the USS
just
Banders?
Happen to have spy ships nearby.
I'm thinking they're coming from the USS Banders.
Why doesn't Israel bomb these signs? These spy ships.
I mean, that's the funny thing. It's like, does anybody ask the question? From whence are these cameras? Whence are these multiple camera angles on this thing? Where are they coming from? Who's gotten that footage?
I don't know. It's like, well, it's like asking why.
It's obviously, just,
it's like asking why the white. Why are the white helmets carrying around, like, they're running around with, like, fucking dust and debris covered, like toddlers?
Yeah.
It's like being live streamed in HD.
Why didn't that huge chlorine gas canister break that bed? Just sitting there.
Just
like,
asking
nice
questions.
Nice, comfy, you know.
Why do the shells? Why do the shells keep disappearing?
I don't know. I'm betting also that this is a mistranslation of the word shell as bullet on the part of the Japanese guy who said the crew thinks they might have been bullets. They weren't bullets. They mistranslated that word to make it sound absurd. Probably the Japanese word for shell and bullet might be, you know, you could, I'm just guessing there. I could be totally wrong, but
you can see sunlight glinting off of bullets.
Right, but
it is possible to see bullets. I'm not saying that's what happened here, but you.
But not with Japanese slant eyes, though. It's not.
Yeah, they may have trouble with this.
Well, actually, like they might close just they get the prism effect where you can see like the spectrum
also,
of light coming.
The sunlight doesn't bother them as much.
Yeah, right.
Like they don't. It's like they don't have, because we have to squint. We have to make our eyes.
They have
look
polarized.
Japanese.
They have polarized eyelids.
They've already got pre-built polarized lenses, so. They can actually see perfectly when it's really bright.
Sucks.
The Japanese are like, yes, my vision. You ever notice how in anime, all these ninja characters, they have this like really acute vision to like see? It's like, this is how Japanese are. Like, we actually get blinded by bright sunlight. We're like, fuck. But they're like,
it makes me sneeze.
Zoning right in. Yeah.
I sneeze.
Oh, you're one of those people?
Yeah, one of those people. Like,
you have that thing?
When the sun hits just right, it's fucking awful.
Yeah, it's a congenital condition.
Yeah, I know. My son has it too.
Actually, know what the gene that they they know what the gene that causes that is.
I was born this way. Don't judge me. How dare you?
I would never dream of judging.
Okay, good. You better not, because you're.
We should have people that sneeze.
I'm not going to take any fucking genetical.
The community of people,
judgments from like the guy who's allergic to everything.
Yeah, that's. I'm just saying, right. We need to have a pride movement. I'm really proud of where the people that sneeze when they look at the sun movement has come in these years. See, I just sneeze when I look at anything.
That's true.
Like, so I can't really judge.
Look at a peanut. Starts fucking sneezing.
Boy. Oof. Forget about it.
Does that mean you can't eat Chick-fil-A, huh? Have you eaten Chick-fil-A?
Yeah.
Why,
they got peanuts there?
That's peanut oil.
Hasn't killed me.
Holy shit, you're not allergic to peanuts at all. You're a liar.
Let's not put this theory to the test.
No, if you have a peanut allergy, you are not supposed to be able to eat Chick-fil-A. Or I like to call it Chick-fil-A.
I've only had it a few times in my life.
But you'd
never
be
had
dead. You'd be how you'd...
Things that say they're cooked in peanut oil for some reason.
No, but they're
for
they're,
years. I haven't died from them, but I have had problems with them when I was a kid. But dude, I have a peanut allergy. Trust me.
And I've got peanuts upstairs. I say we just
no, we're
right
not.
Now.
No, yeah, said, no I absolutely fucking not.
Do you have
Alex,
an epi-
as
you have
a
epi-
medical professional,
have,
he cannot recommend.
Do you have an EpiPen with you?
No, it's at home.
Shit. Next,
I also
right.
need a new one. It's probably out of date.
All right, we're gonna get you an EpiPen, and on the show one day.
No,
we're gonna feed
are
you
fucking
peanut.
Kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you. If you can eat Chick-fil-A, you do not have a peanut allergy.
We are not doing this.
If you can eat Chick-fil-A,
if I die, your whole business goes. It's gone. You got to go back to the paint store. You don't want to do this.
I don't want to. No, that's why we have the EpiPen.
Look, I respect my bodily autonomy, bigot.
Right. Oh,
I'm not eating
work
a peanut.
The paint store. That sounds fun.
It's not fun.
You should hire Alex. Just to work in the paint store.
2 men in the paint store.
I'm not eating a peanut. Like, I'm not doing that.
All right. That would be a good bit, though.
Why don't we just do a bit where you go and look at the sun all day?
I'll just sneeze. I'm not going to die.
It'd be funny as fuck. We should do that someday.
It's pretty fun.
That should be paywall
content.
Wait,
do you have that thing where sunlight makes you sneeze? There's a term for this.
Wow, have you just been zoned out?
Where were you 5 minutes ago? That's how this started.
I was Googling stuff about dodging bullets by looking for the sunlight glinting off of them.
Okay, Neo. Yeah.
This is literally only something that like ninjas can do anime. Or maybe in a martial arts.
I remember some apocryphal story. Hilariously enough, it involved a situation in World War II and a Japanese soldier who allegedly could do this.
Maybe this is a secret power. This is like a racial.
It could be a secret power of the Japanese.
It's like a racial trait. They're like, trying to tell us through their anime that they have this ability. But
since Keanu is a Hoppa, he like inherited it a little bit. So that's why he can be both Neo and John Wick.
Yes.
My favorite thing in the world is when John Wick throws throws empty guns at people. Yeah, it's so funny.
When his clip is empty.
Ooh.
He throws the gun.
Just throws it. I just like
John Wick movies. I just like those movies. The fighting styles are hilarious.
It's just stupid. It's like look what we have to do to escape being paused at the movies. You have to it's just bullets for an hour and a half. 2 hours, whatever. No plot.
Yeah, who needs a plot?
I don't want
a plot written by a Jew.
Well, they are subtly anti-white. He's gifted a fucking pit bull at the end of the first one. I was pissed. The fucking beagle dies.
Yeah.
And then he gets a pit bull.
Cute little beagle gets killed. Yeah, but no, he gets a
nigger dog.
That's just a metaphor for the West.
Nigger alarm.
Yeah. Oh, I was told to hit this today several times.
Whammon alarm.
Oh, right.
I was told to hit
that. Ashley St. Clair.
Yeah.
She probably believes that Iran attacked that Japanese ship.
Of course.
If she even knows that.
Oh, my God. Charlie Kirk is like, boom.
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 Like,
oil tanker attack.
Oil tanker attack. Let's do what Jews want.
Yeah.
Boom.
It's time to.
That might as well just be every tweet that he does. Boom.
Boom. Let's do what Jews want.
Let's do what Jews want. Boom. literally.
Boom. Feed Mike a peanut.
That's what Jews want. Jews want me to eat a peanut.
That's true.
What's the over-under on there being another tanker attack sometime within the next month?
Well, this seems to not be working out for them.
What is it with the... I want to know about the Norwegian one that's, not, reporting back to us.
Because they don't want to be used to war,
we got no part of this fucking...
leave us out of it.
Or what are you talking about? Our boat didn't blow up. Stop writing stories about this.
Yeah, it's like... A Norwegian boat didn't blow up.
I
want to
Google the MF front hull.
News for Norwegian boats. No Norwegian boats exploded in the Persian Gulf today. Everyone get that reference? All right, doesn't matter.
Not really. I don't know what you're talking about.
Remember News for Parrots? You remember?
No, I don't
remember. Monty Python?
I don't remember News for Parrots. No, I remember the
Parrots skit where they're like, no parrots died.
Parrot is no more. It has ceased to be.
No parrots died in an accident on the I-9 today.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I got you. I'm with you now.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
We God knows.
Iran no torpedoes, two oil tankers.
No parrots needed to be rehabilitated because none of them were killed in an accident on the I-9 today.
Very good.
I just can't believe the United States would go on the internet and spread lies about Iran like that.
I've never heard of such a thing. The United States government lying?
What is this crazy website? Sins that cry to heaven for vengeance.
Okay, guy, let's maybe
torpedoes,
relax a little
two
bit.
Two oil
that.
Tankers, MT Front Altair, and Kukka Courageous in Sea of Homan.
Oh, now they've torpedoed these oil freighters.
Well, this is just some whack jobs fucking.
This is some guy. This is probably a boomer that repeats Fox News neocon analysis. He's a big Tom Clancy reader. And so, have you ever seen this type of boomer? This is like a class of boomer.
Wow,
the military analyst boomer that just repeats what Fox News says about shit, but he also reads a lot of Tom Clancy novels, and
check out his subheading: "Sins that cry to heaven for vengeance." The subtitle is "Willful Murder, Sodomy, Oppression of the Poor, Defraud Working Men of Their Wages." So that's what this site's about.
But why is he
fucking
repeating
based.
Zionist propaganda then?
Mass poisonings in the Dominican Republic. 70 tourists. Come on.
Have you heard about this, actually?
No.
There's all these people that...
It's wow, you went to the Dominican Republic and you got sick?
Yeah, no, but there's this one particular resort where, a lot of people, that were perfectly healthy, got sick and died at this resort. And there's a thought that there's a serial killer.
Vomiting, diarrhea, and
people.
Fever. I mean, that just basically, that tells me you went down and you drank the water.
Well, no, there's people that are saying I drank from the minibar in my hotel room. And one woman was saying, perfectly fine and totally good health, drank from the mini bar and started coughing up blood and vomiting blood and shit. And then a bunch of people have died mysteriously at this thing. I'm willing to believe it.
Hard Rock Hotel.
I mean, I don't know.
Sounds like some kind of blood thinner.
It's the Hard R Hotel and Casino in Punta Cana.
Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to believe that there's somebody that's poisoning white people. That hates whites and they're putting poison and shit. So, anyway, who knows? But there's a number of people that died. But anyway.
Look at the ass on this broad. Couple recounts horrifying illness. It's all right, don't tell me about that part. It's just, wow.
Can I see more of these?
I see more photos.
Can
I see more photos of your
please?
Wife before she got sick?
Yeah.
Oh, then this guy got shot in David Ortiz got shot in Dominican Republic. Just don't go to the DR. Just don't go there.
But he's from there.
But it's just he goes down. He's like, I'm a famous Boston Red Sox. I'm gonna go home and get shot.
Well, you know what happens with these people? these athletes and things
like
this.
Oh, I know.
They
go home and it's like, hey, where's the money at?
Yeah, exactly. All their former neighbors and friends try and rob them because of all their money. So he shouldn't go. He should stay here. I mean, I don't care if he goes back, but I'm saying, like, you know, if you're a famous person from, like, a black ghetto or from the Dominican Republic and you go back home, everyone knows you got money, and boy, gangsters are going to come for you, like, right away. So, yeah.
David Ortiz.
Saying, like, it was, like, an assassination
plot. The big DH.
Yeah.
The DH.
Well, where are we now?
It's like, oh, we're playing the World Series. I guess I'll stand on first base and hope no one throws the ball to me because I'm a DH.
Yeah.
I'm a big fat idiot that hits home runs.
Yeah.
Fucking hate baseball, and I hate Mexicans, big things like Dominicans.
I thought you liked
God baseball. Damn it. Huh?
I thought you liked baseball.
I mean, I don't like the MLB. I don't understand why we need these guys to play baseball for us.
Nah. We got Steve Balboni. What do we need him for? We had guys like, we used to have, we used to recruit guys like Steve Balboni.
I'm not watching that guy. I'm not watching that dude play.
Well, this
guy's
retired
now.
Anyway,
not my fucking hero. Oh, is he retired now? I don't even know. But whatever. It's like him and
I think
like
he's retired.
I remember like him and Manny Ramirez. Like the main reason I hated the Red Sox was these two ugly fucking like spics. Him and Manny Ramirez with his fucking dreadlocks and like his uniform is all baggy and he's always dirty. Like this is literally like everything that I hate about this country is these two people right here.
Well, it's difficult to give a shit about a baseball team filled with fucking Dominicans.
Yeah.
Like I just don't care.
Yeah. At least Robinson Cano shaved, you know.
I mean, if you get like one Spanish guy on a team, it's like, all right. But then the whole team.
Oh, the entire league of these guys. Yeah. Well, any of the teams that win.
Yeah.
That's what sucks.
Well, there's also recruiting bias and like the fact that white people don't do anything anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so who they're not trying to get these corn fed guys from Iowa anymore that are just like, you know, throw the fucking ball like a million miles an hour. They're not trying to do that. They used to do that. Because that was where their recruiting pool was, all these country boys. They don't do that anymore.
Mm. Yeah, but we got to send those country boys out to die for freaking Israel right now.
Yeah, that's we got to send them send them after this tanker.
Yeah. All right, so this is Fagan Gay PSYOPs, False Flag Day PSYOPs. And
False Flag Day.
What else? You know what? Can
what
you
else
say?
Can you do? What can you say? Nothing.
You can't because this is obvious.
What can
shit.
You do?
The good
you
thing
know?
Is
not
what I
nothing.
Enjoy is the fact that they can't do this. They're really mad they can't do this anymore. Nobody believes it. Nobody believes it.
I don't know. I'd like to see. I should see what CNN. I want to go watch CNN for a little while. See like what they're doing because CNN is supposed to be like, I don't know.
Well, the thing is though, here's
CNN. Like you would think that they wouldn't warmonger.
No,
in favor
what?
Of Trump.
What world have
in
you
favor
lived
in favor of?
Oh well,
Trump?
See the thing is, they are. This is always presented as something bigger and more important than Trump, right?
All right.
Like first of all, they're gonna warmonger. Okay, this is how you know this is when the Jews really close ranks.
Yeah.
Like they're not gonna. This is all super important national security type stuff. This is bigger than Trump. Forget about Trump. You know, and this is the other thing is like a war won't make Trump more popular. Like you know how the idea of like wars make a president more popular.
That's true.
It won't.
No.
Didn't make George Bush more popular.
So it would make sense for them to make him go to war. So
yeah, make him be the one that eats.
He'll be less popular.
Yeah, make Trump eat this one. I think that's actually part of what they want to do. Legitimately, they want Trump.
I do
want to
see what they're doing with this though. Maybe I'll just go over to CNN site.
They're being a little more careful in the way that they phrase their headline.
Really?
More careful than sins that cry out for vengeance.
Then I'd be quite that blood curdling.
Why does their website look like the Internet 1.0?
I don't know.
Like, it looks like a Geocities fucking...
Geocities.
They say two vessels struck in suspected attack in Gulf of Oman. And...
All right, so a little skepticism.
I mean...
It's more neutral. The headline is much more neutral.
Yeah. Well, they also have to... I mean, to the extent they go neutral, what they're doing is they're appealing to an audience that's like a little bit more primed to be skeptical on this. I mean, boomers... Oh, God. They're so frustrating. What do we do with these people? Can't do anything with them.
Well, we wait for them to die off.
Yeah.
And then we bulldoze all those fucking chain restaurants into the
ground. What happened in Memphis? Speaking of
yeah,
CNN.
There was a riot down there.
Anger and over they,
oh,
police,
yeah! No, this
they're
is
legitimately
a good story.
Trying to cover it up, dude. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm not whitelisting you, CNN. Fuck
off.
Oh,
this shit again?
Oh, good. This actually let me through, though.
Yeah, there was like another. There was like a Ferguson style shit going on.
24 officers injured. Wow.
No, dude, this is like
this is big stuff.
This is like Mike Brown tier shit, and
they did the whole narrative gambit too. Like they called this guy like he was going to go to college. He's going to go to college.
He's going to go college. They always do.
He had two kids and another one on the way.
with like four different
How many
women?
Baby mamas did he have?
You know what they don't tell you? They don't tell you that the reason the police were after this guy is he had shot someone and stolen their car. They don't tell you that part.
That guy, did that nigga just hit the...
Yeah, no, they were tight. Look at them.
What are they using to like hit the cop car?
So he's got like
a steel chair.
Folding chair.
Oh my God! Ring the bell!
They were just watching WWF and then they went out to riot. Yeah.
Sorry. My God, ring the bell is all I could come with. My Lawler.
Woo! That's what that nigga said after he hit the car with the
That cop car really took a shot there, Mean Gene. Let me tell you something, Gorilla. I haven't seen a shot like that since.
That's going to hurt him. That's going to hurt him later.
I was trying to think of where, not Tyrone, Trayvon was shot.
You do like the,
what
like
town
the,
was he shot in?
It's like the Vince McMahon thing where you're like,
I haven't seen a shot like that since Zimmerman, Gorilla.
This is Darren Wilson.
It's Darren Wilson. Sounds like wet leaves to
me.
Yeah,
man,
it's
funny when you see these deep black areas. And like when they come out and they start showing you footage of the play, like Memphis is like deep
blacks.
It's like a deep, like these are like, no, I'm telling you, man, you go down to these, you know, you go like Memphis.
Don't,
man,
I love the language.
Memphis is a deep black city.
Demonstrators threw bricks at police. That's not demonstrating. What are you
demonstrating?
You're demonstrating TNB when you throw bricks at the cops.
They're demonstrating what is actually life is like in Memphis. They're demonstrating to people like, you don't know about Memphis. Memphis is like, it's like New Orleans was the same shit. Like when these blacks come out of these neighborhoods, people haven't seen these people. They are like all like ashy and in tank tops and like ill-fitting clothes and just like all over there. And these are just, they just like swarm out of these neighborhoods and white people are like, what the fuck? We had no idea this existed. And
wow, how did they get this ginned up? Hours before shooting the shooting by U.S. Marshals, the Shelby County District Attorney's Office announced that no charges would be filed against a Memphis police lieutenant who shot and killed a man last year.
Yeah, this is like stuff. This stuff is.
I have to do more. The incident was just fresh in people's minds, said Martavius Jones.
Martavius. How do you report these names in a straight face? If you're one of these reporters that like goes to these areas and like reads to the camera this stuff, how do you say like Martavius Jones?
The marshals shot Brandon Weber, 20. That's a normal name. As they tried to arrest him Wednesday. It sounds like a honky name. Multiple warrants related to a June 3rd incident in Hernando, Mississippi. All right. What are the warrants for? Spotted outside a house getting in a vehicle, rammed vehicle into officers. Oh, see, that's the thing. That's the single combat. I beat the justice system by ramming the cop car with my car, and I get out of here. It's like, no, that makes them. That means they chase you. Well, that means like that you are using your vehicle as a weapon. Now they can just shoot you in the back.
Blacks do get away from the cops sometimes. It's not so much that you can beat them, it's that you can get away and they'll find
like,
you again.
But
that
like, you
does
do,
happen.
But like, if that's how you want to like play the game, don't cry to you when they shoot you.
No, I completely agree. If your goal is like to get like, and it's just transparently like they think they can get away, and it does happen. And there's probably stories
and
in their
and
community.
He's wanted for shooting a man and stealing his car.
Also, this was the marshals. This is not like just like bigoted cops at a local level shooting a random black guy. This is U.S. marshals. U.S. marshals are only involved when there's like important shit like prisoner transports and like, you know, move like federal charges and things like that. So
Jesus
U.S. marshals
Christ.
Are down there.
This guy, he was answering an ad to sell a car, went for a test drive with the owner, and then shot him and stole the car.
Yeah. So I'm not
this
sad
is like,
this guy
is,
got
this
shot.
Is a, this is a fucking, this Should've is a Paul Kersey right away. This is a Paul Kersey article come to life here.
Yeah.
Usually it's like an iPad. Like, I'm going to go sell my iPad to this nigger in a mall parking lot. Oops, I got shot. This time it's a car.
A lot of times you don't even get shot, you just get held up.
Wow.
It's like, I'll take the iPad and everything else.
Well, there's a story where some kid got killed over his Xbox.
Yeah.
Some teens shot him.
Yeah.
Literally,
yeah,
just don't sell things to blacks on the internet. Yeah. Ever. And never meet them someplace.
Jeez. No.
We're never going
to
be your house.
Like a teen threw a baby to the ground in a random incident recently.
Randomly. Bad luck and bad coincidence. Wednesday night's violence was a result of anger over police shootings of black men across the country and a case of bad luck. What's the bad luck? That it's my lot in life to be a car thieving murderer. It's just bad luck. Just
a case of bad luck?
It's a case of bad luck that the police wanted to shoot me for ramming them with my car.
That's fucking, I can't. Wait, read this again.
Oh, okay. The coincidence is that he was shot on the day that no charges would be filed against a Memphis officer in another shooting from a year ago. Okay.
I mean,
which was also justifiable.
Odds are, like, Wow, you were shot on the same day that some other black guy did something
bad? Here we go. Neighborhoods.
Like last year?
Neighborhood struggles with violence and poverty. So you mean the neighborhood's just black?
So it's a black neighborhood.
Yeah,
neighborhood.
Just struggles with blacks. It struggles because there's niggers there. Struggles with nigger infestation.
Well, it's just, but it's blacks that are struggling. And then I guess there's some white managers and police that are struggling. And
My heart is broken over the news regarding the death of Brandon. Like, are you like,
why?
Are you heartbroken that he turned out to be a murdering car thief? No. He's a talented art student. He probably liked his
Who's
naphtha,
saying that?
Sniffing
well,
the
he
naphtha.
Was going to go to college.
I'm just curious, who is saying this, their heart is broken?
Central, just the school district principal where he went to school, I don't know how many years ago.
Yeah, I doubt it.
It's like, you don't remember this.
Well, he's like, he's one of a number of black delinquents that graduated from my school, or stopped
coming
to my school.
He's a 2017 graduate. How old is he? Oh, he's 20? All right, I guess he graduated on time. Damn.
But that's just because they just graduate them. It's not because he actually...
It would have been funny
if
he was like 26.
At those type of schools, like, it's literally just... Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right.
I remember he's a very talented art student.
I doubt it.
Oh, God. Don't judge Fraser without asking a community how it feels to mourn their youth over and over again. Well, your youth are fucking violent criminals.
Dude.
You're going to keep mourning? Like, nothing...
None of this shit affects
me.
Like,
but your youths are killing the other youths. I mean,
this
you mourn the victims
of
Brandon Weber?
What about them? This is the narrative control that they do. Like, this is like some... They're going to trot some... This is a black woman saying this. Tammy Sawyer.
What do people do with their pain and trauma when it gets to be too much, when a city has ignored... They're not ignoring you! They shot you because you're criminals! You're having pain and trauma because you don't abide.
But the thing is, why are people even being put out there to say this bullshit?
Because everyone just thinks everyone thinks that these people just like don't know what they're doing, or that somebody else is imposing this on them.
No, nobody. People didn't used to think that this is just
bullshit.
This is such a weird inversion in the way historically things have worked. Like the police are in trouble for delivering justice.
They can no longer. Like, all you can do is yell at the sky when your kids keep turning out this way, lady. When your sons keep doing this, all you can do is yell at the sky. You can't. You don't get the choice of no longer yelling at the sky. Yell at the sky because no one else is going to help you.
You can't. You can't be helped. This is how you people are. Like, it's not our fault. It's not our problem.
Is that a black? Ooh, sorry. Wow, that's an ugly fucking shibun. Wow. Oh, she's running for mayor.
Yeah.
She gonna be the mayor.
She's gonna be mayor.
So like, what is? What
good,
is?
Good luck with that.
That is an ugly.
I hope you are.
She'll probably win in a place like that.
Memphis is bad news. I've been down around that area, and people are like, let's not even drive through. What's the point? We might have to stop at a red light.
Memphians?
I mean, how do you fix this problem other than just don't enforce laws? Just don't have.
Well,
that's
what black politicians run on.
That's what they run. That's probably what she's
saying. That's like literally what their platform is. We're gonna do something about these police.
Yeah. If your kids are shooting people and stealing cars, that's because some need is not being met by Whitey. Like, I guess we're supposed to give them cars.
Even if that's the case.
We're supposed to give them cars.
Even if that's the case, we can't have you running around shooting people and stealing cars.
Yeah, I know, but you can't. You're just ignoring. You're ignoring our trauma.
Root causes. Root causes.
Oh, here we go.
Is there any video of the rioting? I'm more interested in that. I don't care about their excuse.
The council member.
This is all the same shit.
Listen to this fucking excuse. The council member and Memphis native recalled Firestone, an international harvester, employed many Fraser residents in the 70s and 80s. Boy, I wonder what that town was like in the 70s and 80s. I wonder if it was a black... With those big employers moving out of the immediate neighborhood, you found limited employment opportunities, and everybody left except for you. Like, that's probably what happened?
They probably...
I guarantee... Like, how many blacks were working? Like, blacks don't work.
No, they started moving out because of the blacks.
Yes. Like, yeah.
This is another... When did this happen? The 70s? This is another tale.
With limited employment opportunities, you have greater pockets of poverty in an area than in
some other...
Dude, I guarantee
you...
It's like, you mean
another,
better... You have more black people. Cause
another tale like what happened to Yonkers happened here.
Yeah.
Although, this is Memphis, so yeah. No, but I mean, yeah, all these...
Woo!
These
Fraser things. Is 80% black. What was the count in the 70s and 80s, I'd love to know, before those places left?
Hold up. There was like an international harvester plant or something like that?
Yeah, and a Firestone in the
70s
and
80s. Yeah, so that sort of coincides with the corporatization of farming in the 70s and 80s.
But they left.
So, yeah.
They left, and so did the people who worked there.
Well, they left because they had a better option for cheaper labor and manufacturing elsewhere, and then, wow, white people leave, and then it becomes black. And
a black hole.
This is what happens, Larry.
This is your globalism. You get global capital and localized Negro fucking and anarchy, I guess is the word for it. Localized like Negro
global,
anarchy.
Think globally, act locally. It's like think globally, black locally. Write that down, Jamie.
She is.
Oh, these puns.
Ugh. Black locally.
I'm just like bored of this. I like don't want to hear. Imagine being like what's his name? The guy that writes for WorldNet Daily that covers all this, the Irish guy, Flaherty. Colin Flaherty.
Colin Flaherty.
It's like, don't you get bored of this, bro? Like, it's literally the same story every time.
That's kind of how I got out of libertarianism. I was sick of the same cop lock story every day. That was part of it. It's like, all right.
I was just sick of libertarians.
Yeah. Well, that was part of it. It's like, all right, every day somebody gets arrested and you say it was a brutal. Okay.
Well, every day the problem is statism. There's no deeper analysis. Right. It's like, well, that's just dumb. Like, it's just a really shitty fucking...
Goddamn.
If we had my utopia, there would be no problems, because in my own mind, I've constructed a utopia with no problems. Don't you get it?
There's no Jews or black people.
Don't you get how... And my utopia is immune.
That's not your utopia. Okay.
My utopia is immune from criticism. You can't ever point out issues or problems that it might have, because I've already pre-solved those problems with my built-in narrative
problems.
That cannot be that can't be accosted from any angle, because it's imaginary. No, that's and police suck, and the state is garbage. Mm. You know, I understand the thing is, I understand why people hate the government and are pissed at cops.
Well, sure,
but like, you've been diverted into a fucking Jewish escape ramp.
I'm just not pissed at cops when they do this to black people.
No, I don't care if a cop shoots a black criminal
because it's usually my default.
It's like my position, the one right thing they do.
My position is like, prove to me that wasn't justified. Prove it to me that it wasn't justified. I guarantee.
Yeah, I've seen this song and dance before.
Yeah, we've had too many of these where, like, if you actually look at what went down, it's like, oh, so yeah. that guy should have been doing that, and he got shot.
I mean,
shot.
The media knows it. That's why they use weasel words when they talk about it.
Yeah,
that's why they frame and spin.
That's the thing. That's the most tiresome is the weasel words and the constant usage of just like tissue thin rhetoric. How do you, if you're a journalist and you have an IQ above room temperature, how do you write this stuff day
because
after
you have
day
a social mission.
Day.
Well, you don't write it for long because everybody's getting fired and everything's closing
First
down.
Of all, like, they could write this with a computer now, so they don't need these people.
Yeah, right.
But second of all, you know, how you do it is you have a social mission first. That's why they recruit ideologues into journalism.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Their social mission is first. And they self-admit. That they cover this stuff in this way to prevent racism. They have admitted that themselves. You know how easy it would be to make this country overtly... Well, I mean, they always talk about how racist it is. But, dude, say, like, the media was in the hands of us. We wouldn't even have to use, like, blood-curdling rhetoric. We could just tell you what's going on. And, like, not hide those mugshots, not hide the pictures of who's doing it.
If we just did actual objective reporting, you wouldn't need to use any sort of loaded terms.
Yeah.
Oh. But I want.
But we know what would happen.
I want to write like equivalent like outrageous headlines for like the right wing utopian newspaper.
Well, the funny thing
like,
is that's what Breitbart was supposed to do. But it was really just
kill man with gun.
It was just outrageous headlines for the you know the Jay Wright.
Violent nigger strikes again.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
criminal pavement ape strikes again.
There have been sites that have done that. Yeah. Well, like I was saying, look,
Niggermania, which is still up.
Well, Niggermania is hilarious. But if you, like I was saying, like if YouTube like literally never censored and let anybody monetize, you got to have somebody just say nigger for money.
Right.
Like, I tell you this, I would be giving cops awards for shooting these fucking animals.
Well, you know what happened? I mean, you think that's out of bounds, but cops and FBI get awards from the ADL for like taking out you know, people that they call like innocent people that they call white nationalists, they get awards for that. I mean, you know, apparently in the courtroom, when Rob Rundo and Rob Bowman got let off by the judge, there was like a whole fucking section of the court was all FBI agents, and they were all fucking pissed when these guys got off. It's like, what do you care? These are not even people that committed any crimes,
right?
Why don't you actually do something? I want to talk about something for a second.
Well, I was going to say these guys can't do their jobs unless they've convicted the target in their mind already.
So the Justice Department did a very good thing a couple of days ago, and they did a very good thing on the same date last year. They've announced last year and this year. Last year, they announced the arrest of 2,300 people associated with child pornography and trafficking online. They call it Operation Broken Heart. And they did it again this year. And you can go to the DOJ's website for the press release on these things. And now they were nationwide, 50 states, 4,500 Justice Department personnel engaged in this. They rescued 357 exploited children, and they put 1,700 people behind bars. Fucking Dr. Pizza was part of this. That sting on Dr. Pizza was part of Operation Broken Heart. Wow. So they got people that consume and traffic and sell and exploit kids. 1,700 of them nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
If you look this up, where's the New York Times article? Where's CNN? Where's Fox? Where's NBC?
Where's anybody?
Where's anybody? You will find articles from local affiliates on arrests in their area,
mm-hmm.
but there's no major national level media reporting on the whole thing, tying it all together and telling you what happened. Yet, the national media, all of them ran an article on Rob Rundo. Rob Rundo, who punched back when he got punched at a Trump rally. And the judge agrees that he was innocent.
Well,
they'll
run articles about racist cops, too.
Sure.
Yes. So, if you think you're not being fed a narrative with not just how they report, but what they report, selective reporting, why is a guy who got pepper sprayed and punched and swung back at a political rally, nationwide fucking news, and his athletic club is characterized like a terrorist organization? When we have 1,700 pedophiles and child exploiters and child porn traffickers picked up by the Justice Department and 2,300 last year, and not a single headline in Washington Post about it, not a single headline in ProPublica, not a single headline in New York Times, nowhere. Why? And like, I'm not even going Pizzagate tier. What I'm telling you is, why the fuck aren't they reporting this? And if you don't, if that doesn't make you question everything about how this fucking media complex works, I don't know what to tell you. Like, it's on the Department of Justice's website. You can go there, and you can search Operation Broken Heart, and you can see the press releases. How the fuck is 1,700 pedophiles in a 50-state, 4,500-agent operation not front-page news on every fucking newspaper? How is that not front-page news?
Because Pizzagate is real.
This is
Pizzagate.
The problem with Pizzagate is that it's an in-before for this shit.
Yeah.
Because if you think that Comet Pizza had, like, child dungeons in the basement and whatever the fuck, because Hillary Clinton was, whatever you think, that's dumb. But what we do have is a pervasive problem of child porn and trafficking, and it's connected to elite people in one place.
Mm-hmm.
There was one county where 22 people were arrested. One of the people arrested was, a Comerica Bank vice president.
Oops.
Imagine that. Maybe that's why we don't see anything.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
Okay, now, you could be a Comerica Bank vice president in some county somewhere and not be all that high up, but you're still higher on the food chain than most people are. So, this is one of the reasons, right? Now, that also included, there was also three people that worked at McDonald's that were included. So, I mean, you know, let's not, this is not purely a class-based thing. But the thing is, this
surrender
is not
McDonald's
something.
Again.
McDonald's and pedophilia, like peas and carrots. But, you know.
Fries and ketchup. God.
Now I'm starving.
Fuck.
Fucking hell. God damn it.
Oh, man.
But this is the thing. It's like, look.
Oh, this is the thing.
And maybe, you know, maybe some of you, if communist anarchists leftists that listen to our show to you know, hem and awe and wow, just wow our content, maybe you should think about this too. Because I'm not talking about Pizzagate. Pizzagate was legitimately a crackpot theory that was meant to kind of in before this kind of stuff. I'm not saying that, like, Comet Pizza had a child dungeon or that they had a pedophilia or whatever going on there. What I'm saying is, we've got the Department of Justice, and, you know, telling us, we've arrested 1,700 people and 2,300 the year before. And a guy said to me something. He said, like, this is actually one thing the Trump administration has done, because this shit was not happening before. They were not going after these people before. The Trump administration has done this, but why isn't Trump out there bragging about this? Why doesn't Trump? I mean, imagine if I was like a right wing, like, law and order president type, like the image he's trying to portray. Dude, you think I wouldn't take the podium in the Rose Garden and be like, we fucking got 1,700 pedophiles.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know how much his base would love that? This is a political fucking win. My Justice Department rounded up 1,700 pedophiles and rescued 357 exploited children. Aren't we fucking awesome? Imagine a country where that's something the president would want to brag about.
Boom.
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 Like, why doesn't Charlie Kirk do a boom here?
Boom.
Boom. I mean, that's worth a boom. Boom. 1,700 pedophiles arrested. Boom.
Boom. It's almost worth
fucking
a boom,
radio silence for everybody on this. Now, I'm not, I wouldn't, I mean, I don't know if Charlie Kirk's being malicious. He might just not know about it. His handlers just didn't tell him.
Yeah.
But it's just amazing that they don't. I mean, if you don't believe me, search Operation Broken Heart and see the paucity of reporting.
Ooh, paucity.
Yeah, you like that?
I like that. That was good. I know what that means and everything.
Yeah, you even know what it means. Yeah, everyone, you kind of pick it up from context, too. But, you know, no, there's almost nothing. I mean, you will see, the most you'll see is local reports from local affiliates on the people in their area
and
that were arrested.
Do they even mention that, like, these are three of the 1,700? They're just like, oh, these three.
They don't mention. They don't contextualize. A lot of times what they do is they say part of federal sting.
Ah.
And then, like, leave it at that. And they don't tell you, like, oh, by the way, this federal sting got, like, hundreds of other people in other states. And, you know, it's a 50-statewide operation. Mm. And, yeah.
Well. All right, then.
Unbelievable. I mean, that legitimately
We're up against the weekend.
Yes, we are up against the weekend. But listen.
Yeah, I think I'm supposed to go on Happy Homelands tomorrow with Ramsey Paul.
Oh, that should be fun. The thing I want to say, though, about the Operation Broken Heart is... Fuck talking about Pizzagate. Talk about this.
Yeah, talk about this.
This you can prove. This is why I hate this stuff about this conjecture stuff. It inbefores all the shit you can prove. I mean, I'm on Ryan Dawson and I are on the same page with this stuff. Talk about what you can fucking prove.
Don't talk about
We have evidence here that there's a massive problem with child porn and trafficking and that people that are elite are wrapped up in it. And that journalists are fucking wrapped up in it. Dr. Pizza. What was that guy's name?
I don't remember. Bright? I just remember Dr. Pizza.
His name was Bright.
Being like, wow, not a good look, pal.
Yeah, I mean, doing the Dr. Pizza bit. There's also tweets where the guy says he understands the psychology of child molesters. I'm like, yeah, I bet you do.
Apparently pizza is like the international symbol. And like, boy, that makes sense that I would perfectly put that on
It's like the Jew putting the parentheses on their own account.
It's like, yeah, no one would ever. Well,
yeah.
It's like, wait, are you trying to psych me out again?
Gooby. Pizza.
Oh, wait, one more time.
Wham an alarm.
I just felt like doing that for no reason.
Yeah.
It's because it's good. All right. Well, I guess that's that. I'll make some kind of content next week. Me and Alex.
Tell your friends and family about Operation Broken Heart.
Tell them,
why do you think the news isn't talking about this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we're too busy. We're too busy.
And look, Pizzagate is real as a dumb meme. Pizzagate. Meaning directly linked to that stupid pizzeria is probably fake. But yes, rich and powerful people are wrapped up in child porn and child trafficking. Fucking question.
The Pizzagate stuff is very spooky, but I would like some proof. There's just no proof. That's the problem.
But also, like,
so much conjecture.
What do we need that for?
No.
We have evidence of bank executives getting wrapped up in child porn stings. What the fuck do we need it
Get
for?
Get them.
Let's talk about what we know.
Yeah, works for me.
Media is legitimately covering. There's only way you can explain this is a cover up.
Oh, absolutely.
The lack of them reporting on this is a huge story.
Dr. Pizza. Yeah. All right, everybody. That's that. We're going to get out of here. Here's the music. You ready for the music?
Yes.
Sounds good, doesn't it? Well, bye.
Always give your best. Never get discouraged. Never be petty. Always remember. Others may hate. Those who hate you don't quit unless you hate them. Then you destroy yourself.